get the truth. AM 1320.
It's a series of truths.
AM 1320 KCTC. Sacramento's Left Channel.
Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. A 40-year-old murder case, the killing of two black teenagers in Mississippi, has apparently been solved. CBS's Stephanie Lambidakis says the suspect, James Ford Steele, is 72 now.
The federal charges that have been filed against reputed Klansman James Steele are part of a major and what some say is a long overdue effort to solve racial killings from the civil rights era. In this case, two black teenagers were brutally beaten and their bodies were dumped in a river. Steele has always been a prime suspect and even taunted the FBI to prove he did it. Now the FBI and federal prosecutors believe they're ready to do just that.
Reaction from Mark Potok at the Southern Poverty Law Center.
It is a way for the nation to say to the Black South, you matter. Although 40 years ago, black people didn't seem to matter much to sort of the larger country, to the nation at large, we're saying that is not true today.
John Kerry has decided not again. He will not run for the White House in 08.
This isn't the time for me to mount a presidential campaign.
This just in to CBS News, the Senate Armed Services Committee. The vote is yes on confirmation of General David Petraeus to take over command of U.S. forces in Iraq. Now it is on to the full Senate. They ignored President Bush's State of the Union plea when he said, I ask you to give it a chance to succeed. The Senate Foreign Relations Committee in sending on to the full Senate a resolution opposing sending reinforcements to Iraq. It is toothless, but symbolic.
In a direct slap at President Bush, the Senate Foreign Relations Committee voted for a non-binding resolution opposing sending more troops to Iraq, saying it's not in the nation's interests. Democratic Chairman Joe Biden.
Is the wrong way to go, and in fact, I believe we'll have the opposite, emphasize the opposite effect that the president intends.
All but one Republican voted against the resolution, but they didn't exactly give the president a stirring defense. Alaska's Lisa Murkowski.
I happen to disagree with the president on the surge.
The Iraq resolution will go to the full Senate next week. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
U.S. and Iraqi forces moved into what has been strongly held Sunni territory today, Haifa Street in North Baghdad. At least 30 insurgents are dead. More than two dozen were captured. Set phasers to stun, said Captain Kirk. The military showing off its new ray gun, what it calls an active denial system. It is non-lethal. WCTC-TV reporter Roxana Haynes submitted to a blast from that ray gun.
It's an invisible frequency wave, and it hits you. And to me, it just felt like you were kind of getting too close to a campfire or you had just opened the oven.
The idea is to crank it up, if necessary, on the battlefield to literally make the area and the people in it too hot to handle. On Wall Street, the Dow gained about 88 points to close at nearly 12,622. NASDAQ up almost 35. Oil at $55.37 a barrel, up 33 cents. This is CBS News.
So where do you two keep the books for your contracting business?
It's all up in the old noggin.
Yeah, all our sales figures are right in his head.
I see. Does that concern you?
Not at all.
Every waking moment.
You know, there's an easier way to manage your business. QuickBooks. You can be up and running in under 15 minutes. With just a few clicks, QuickBooks software lets you send invoices, see who's paid and who hasn't. It even makes tax time a cinch.
We need that.
Are you sure? I got it all right here.
I'm sure.
QuickBooks. Better, faster, simpler. Get it at CompUSA, OfficeMax, or Circuit City.
Tiger Balm presents football superstar Jerry Rice.
Foxtrot. I can't believe I'm dancing with Jerry Rice.
I can't believe dancing is as hard as playing wide receiver.
Tango.
I'm sorry.
You okay?
Yeah. How do you manage all the aches and pain?
Tiger Balm.
Really?
Tiger Balm works fast and lasts a long time.
Samba.
Whoa. Oh, sorry. I'm such a klutz.
Maybe we should stop.
No, just get me some Tiger Balm.
You sure?
Just get me the Tiger Balm.
If you suffer from aches and pains, go for the balm. Tiger Balm. Now in a convenient, easy-to-apply patch. At drugstores, mass discount stores, supermarkets, and health food stores everywhere.
The weekend crash of a Black Hawk helicopter killed 12 people, and today we learn how strategically valuable those people were. Five were officers, including two colonels, and one of them was the leading American military doctor in Iraq. Jimi Hendrix may not have gotten his amazing energies from a substance as tame as caffeine. The makers of a new energy drink are hoping his image will help sell what they call liquid experience.
If you can jump.
So Some fans are upset that Jimmy's being used in such a commercial effort. The publicist Bob Merlis had this to say.
Experience Hendrix wouldn't license his image if everything is duly considered and everybody's entitled to their opinion.
It's non-alcoholic, sort of like Red Bull and the other high-caffeine drinks, and the producers say the name comes from Hendrix's Are You Experienced? Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Stay with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Five minutes after 3 o'clock, welcome to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. We're at midweek. I want to remind you that I am yours until 7 o'clock tonight, Monday through Fridays from 3 to 7, right here on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. And there are lots of ways that you and I can be in touch with each other. You can email me, enid@kctc.com. We stream live. We are live and interactive at 1320leftchannel.com, 1320leftchannel.com. And you can call. It doesn't cost you a penny to do it. Most of you have never picked up the phone to call this show. Shame on you. This is like how we make you feel guilty. This is like when they're doing begathons for public media, for public radio and television. They make you feel good. Oh, you're always watching. You're always listening, but you don't contribute a dime. Well, you all mainly listen, but very few of you ever call a talk radio show. Less than 1% of you ever pick up the phone. So let me encourage you to do it, because 5 days a week, 4 hours a day, we carry on what we like to think of as a really vibrant, interesting, compelling, sometimes provocative, often challenging conversation, a large community-wide, even larger than the community, because we stream live, and so we have listeners as far, you know, the Virgin Islands. We get postcards from people all over the world, really, in England. So you can be part of that discussion, and we love it. The more of you who participate, the better the discussion is. So if you're in the 916 area code, write this down, 349-1320. 349-1320. And if you're not, the number is 866-626-1320. 866-626-1320. And all calls to Enid Live are completely toll-free. Well, did you hear, you know, yesterday we had a very special and extended edition of Enid Live. We brought you the President's State of the Union Address, and we also brought you the Democratic response, which the Washington Post characterized as bold, as a bold response and a provocative response, and it was, actually. It was pretty good. It was James Webb, sort of now a new star in the Democratic Party. We also had a special and extended edition of Enid Live following so that we could take your calls, and many of you called in, so that was really good. A couple of things, and there's comment about it today. When the president began the speech, I commented on it right away, and some of you found my commentary a little bit annoying. Some of you liked it a lot, so I guess it just depends. But I tried to not obscure his line. I tried to what I tried to do was to set the record straight when it came to his more egregious fabrications. And I would wait for the applause line to do it so that you could still hear what he had to say. So you might want to comment on my commentary if you heard any of it. But one of the things that happened, first off, you know, it was a very gracious open in which he's, you know, historic proportions, because you have, for the first time in the history of the country, a female Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi. And he was really gracious about that. That was a very nicely scripted open. And he referenced the fact that her father had been a congressman, also the mayor of Baltimore, a longtime mayor of Baltimore. She was the only girl in the family, and I think the youngest child in the family. So I would imagine, an Italian dad in those times, would he have ever thought that his only daughter and the youngest, as a matter of fact, would become the first female Speaker of the House, or, as we know, two indictments away from the presidency. So he was very gracious about that, Dickie, our president.
But then he mentioned something about the Democrat. Here it is. You know, after disarmingly gracious opening remarks about Nancy Pelosi's speakership, the president congratulates the Democrat majority, words most every Democrat takes as a calculated insult. The prepared marks say Democratic majority, but apparently he couldn't help himself. Do you want to comment on that? Because I jumped on it the moment I heard it. It is an insult. And when somebody calls the show and they refer to the Democrat majority, I know right away they're Rush listeners or their right-wing, red meat, real red state mentality kind of a caller. And it's an insult. The Democrat, it has become an insult. So why he would do that when you have got a Democratic majority that he's got to work with, he is the lamest of lame duck presidents. So if you want to comment, I would love to hear your comments on the State of the Union address. And much to our great surprise, guess what? The State of the Union address got tremendous ratings last night. I thought a lot of people would not listen. Everybody has written him off. We know where we stand with him. It's just going to be more yada yada. He did better than American Idol last night. Can you believe that? 349-1320, 866, 626, 1320. The first Democrat, apparently, to glad hand the president as he walked in, the least likely person, you want to guess? Dennis Kucinich. He seemed to be pressing some point, and President Bush didn't seem to be too interested in whatever point Dennis Kucinich was trying to make. Well, we're not too surprised about that. One of the things that really was not mentioned in the speech was Katrina. Senator Barack Obama was interviewed on CNN right after the speech, and he called the administration's logic and policy flawed on the Iraq strategy, and he said that what was striking to him in the last few weeks was the near unanimity with which lawmakers would prefer to see a drawdown in Iraq and redeployment as opposed to an increase of troops. He said that he was also surprised that Bush had not mentioned New Orleans or post-Katrina Gulf Coast needs. Asked about the efforts to smear him with unfounded rumors that he attended a radical Islamist school as a child in Indonesia, Obama shrugged it off, saying the American people are smarter than that. Let's talk for a moment about the fact that one of the glaring omissions of the speech, and about half of the speech was taken up with the issue of Iraq, that a glaring omission in the speech was no mention whatsoever of Katrina, one of the administration's huge failures. The Senate today has rejected Bush's Iraq. This is would be, in a country like England, a vote of no confidence. A Senate committee today rejected the president's plan to add troops in Iraq, sending the measure to the full Senate for a vote expected next week. On a bipartisan vote of 12-9, the Senate Foreign Relations Committee approved a resolution expressing clear disapproval of Bush's Iraq policy a day after he asked Congress to give it more time to work. The vote is non-binding, but supporters hope that it will convince the president to reconsider. In his State of the Union address to a defiant Congress on Tuesday, Bush insisted it was not too late to shape the outcome in Iraq with a new strategy. Do you agree with that? Do you think that it's not too late to shape the outcome in Iraq with a new strategy? He says, I ask you to give it a chance to work. Well, it hasn't worked. And I'm telling you, one of the things we talked about yesterday was, and by the way, if you are just joining us and if you missed our extended edition of Enid Live, you missed comments by Bob Mulholland, Democratic Party consultant and strategist, following the speeches, and you also missed Charlie Brown, who could yet unseat Deep Doo-Doo Doolittle, John T. Doolittle, in the 4th Congressional District, the reddest of the congressional districts in the state of California, because here is what Charlie Brown gave us a heads up on. There will be some campaign filings at the end of the month from Doolittle. We will find out how much more money has gone to his criminal defense attorneys. We will also, what we're expecting to have happen is an indictment of Brent Wilkes in San Diego. And remember, that U.S. attorney, Carol Lamb in San Diego, is one of those U.S. attorneys who has been pulled out of her job by this administration. There are, we don't know the number yet, 6, 7, 8, 9 U.S. attorneys around the country who are independent, who are aggressive, They have been appointed by this administration, And interestingly enough, when they are appointed, what typically happens is that they serve the whole term of the administration. But this administration, the very people they appointed, they're pulling them out. Why are they pulling them out? They're not saying. But what we think, the reason we think they're pulling them out, is because they are independent, they are tough-minded, they are aggressive, and as investigations will begin to close in on this particular administration, this is not apparently the quality people that they want to have investigating them, so they're replacing these independent, aggressive, tough-minded U.S. attorneys that they themselves have appointed with political hacks. And one of the people that they are going to pull out is Carol Lam. She is an aggressive, tough-minded, and successful prosecutor, U.S. attorney in San Diego. She is the one responsible for putting Duke Cunningham into the pokey. And it looks like in her watch there is an indictment coming down for Brent Wilkes. Well, Brent Wilkes funneled a lot of money to Doolittle. So there could be a straight line connection. We hope it exists. We would like to see the Department of Justice home in on Doolittle for his questionable campaign, contributions that came to him, and what he did, whether it was a pay-or-play situation, where you paid him some money and you got what you wanted. I don't know. We'll find out. But if that happens, there could very well be a special election. And then I think Charlie Brown would be the next congressman from the 4th Congressional District. So if you were listening last night, you got a lot of juicy information, both from Bob Mulholland and also from Charlie Brown, whom we have not heard a lot from since the election, where he lost by the tiniest of margins in a very red district. So good for Charlie. He ran a terrific campaign. One of the things we talked about yesterday, I have not, you know, we know that Barack Obama was against the war from the start. He wasn't in Congress when the president was authorized to go to war. He has remained against the war. Hillary Clinton did authorize, but she has not, you know, some of you say she's recanted. Maybe she's sort of saying, what if I knew then what I know now, which is not exactly saying, I'm really sorry I voted for it. I don't think it's the same thing. And I have not seen her say anything terrifically strong about Iraq other than that we should cap the troop levels. And she's only doing that in response to Barack's potential candidacy, his exploratory committee for president. But what we do have is Chuck Hagel, and we do have John Edwards, who said he is sorry that he voted for it. So he has come clean. I don't exactly know when he recanted, but he has recanted. Well, Chuck Hagel has now also recanted. He says he's sorry that he voted for the authorization. In a Senate Foreign Relations Committee hearing today, members debated two resolutions attacking Bush's proposed 21,500 troop escalation. The debate brought major passions to the fore among certain key members, with Republican Senator Chuck Hagel admonishing his colleagues to take a public stand on the issue or go sell shoes if they are seeking an easier job. And I saw some video on Hagel, and I've got to take my hat off to him. He is tough, and he can do it. I think he's got a history of having been in the military. I think he was in Vietnam. I think he has fought the tough fights, and he is not embarrassed to say that he's really sorry that he voted for the war, to authorize the war, number one, and he is holding the president's feet to the fire. The big news today is that John Kerry is not going to run for president. John Kerry doesn't have a prayer. And some of his advisors are saying that the reason he is not going to run for president is because of that gaffe he made, remember, in Los Angeles when he was campaigning on behalf of Phil Angelides. So we're going to be talking about all of that. We have lots of things that we're going to be talking about as well. Hill pensions for the convicted might end, but not in time. To keep the pension payout from going directly into the pocket of convicted felon Duke Cunningham and Bob Ney, both of them in the pokey or headed to the pokey. 349-1320-866-626-1320. Let me ask you this question. Here's the question I want to ask you. What did you listen to the speech last night? What are your thoughts? What is the fallout? What did you think of the Democratic response? Does it change anything for you? If you are a Republican, if you are a conservative, I would love to know whether anything, you know, whether you finally have had enough of Dickey. And I have some numbers. CBS did some numbers directly after the speech, and I was a little bit surprised at them. I'm going to wait for some further polling to happen, but actually it looks like Dickey got a bounce. I don't think he did. Intuitively, I don't think he did. But I will share with you the CBS polling results. I'm Enid Goldstein. You are listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather on AM 1320 KCTC with Dan Mitchinson.
All right, thank you, Enid. Southbound 99 on eastbound 47th. We have an accident clearing right now. An earlier non-injury accident is clearing up on Seamless Avenue. That's on the way to southbound 5. Also partial blocking in Woodland. That's northbound I-5 at the bypass. Your updated forecast for Sacramento. That's going to remain chilly down to the mid-30s. And then for Thursday, a high near 58 with mostly sunny skies and a few high clouds. That's a look at traffic and weather. More with Enid coming up next on AM 1320 KCTC.
Protecting your right to choose the left.
One of the most important things in your life.
It's Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
New rule. Prince Harry is going to hurt someone. Look at this kid. He's a thundering ball of rage. His mom's dead. His father dates rotted tree bark. His brother gets to be king, and he's destined to spend the rest of his life being photographed doing nothing. Arrest him before he kills a woman. New rule. Country music stars can't be authors. Charlie Daniels' new book, Ain't No Rag, Freedom, Family, and the Flag, is a collection of musings by noted white trash icon Charlie Daniels on subjects ranging from American flags to American flag bumper stickers to what to do to a hippie if you catch him trying to burn your flag. Before this book, I was ambivalent on the issue of flag burning. Now I find myself reconsidering the question of book burning.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
Nothing pumps me up more than when fans tell me I love the king.
Number 23, Kevin Martin.
This is Kevin Martin from the Sacramento Kings. Metro PCS loves the king, and I'm a fan of Metro PCS.
For just $45 a month, I can talk and text all I want, and there's no contract. If you live, work, and play in Northern California, get permission to speak freely with Metro PCS. Tell him Kevin sent you.
Metro PCS.
Hello.
Permission to speak freely. Long distance coverage in the continental U.S. Taxes and fees not included. Certain restrictions apply. See store for details.
At Cash Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cash Fever Jackpot. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cash Fever Jackpot hits, a Cash Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cash Fever Jackpot total and your Cash Club points online now at CashCreek.com. So join Cash Club today and get the fever. Cash Creek Casino Resort.
New rule, one dear to my heart. Lap dancing is a First Amendment right. The L.A. City Council this week banned lap dancing. What is next? Burning books? Lap dancers, or Imagineers, as I like to call them, are artists drawing you into their fantasy world, much like a skilled novelist does. If novelists had perfectly waxed bikini lines. But more importantly, lap dancers are expressing an idea called hope. The hope that someday a skinny young woman with artificial breasts and a navel piercing will want to have sex with you. And without that hope, millions of American men might just as well throw themselves into the sea.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
/3:24 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live, yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel, KCTC. You can join the conversation. It's really easy to do it. It's toll-free, costs you nothing. You could alter the dialogue immensely. You could have a big effect. You might have, you'll be heard by more people probably than you will meet in the whole rest of your life. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. 1320. Keeping us afloat today, Lauren Haley, and also Dan Mitchinson on weather and traffic, and Teresa Cummings handling your phone calls. So it's a little bit of a shift of personnel for the day. Lisa West is a little bit under the weather, so we're hoping she feels much better. 349-1320. I'm asking a bunch of different questions, and I will share with you some of the early polling about the State of the Union address. But let me ask you, did you listen? Did you not listen? Apparently, the State of the Union address did better than American Idol last night. I am amazed, because I thought people would have said, you know, I've already decided about this guy. I'm going shopping. What do you think? Mark in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Mark.
How you doing, Enid?
I'm well, thank you. Did you watch this? Did you listen?
Thank you for being a host on this program. You guys do a terrific job.
Oh, thank you very much.
And in answer to your question, no, I wouldn't waste my time listening to Bush. You know, he's a pathological liar. you guys have, what's the name of the other lady that's on your station?
Well, you listened to the morning retort with Scott and Sims. But anyway, tell me what your point is.
Well, anyway, first of all, he's got so much blood on his hands, he doesn't seem to realize that. And secondly, I can't understand why the ratings of his speech were so high, unless most of the people were listening from the red states, you know, because they're the people that are responsible for electing him on his first term. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I can't understand that kind of mental attitude that they have, because it just doesn't make sense.
All right, let me give you the numbers. Bush beats Idol last night. His State of the Union speech pulled in a 6.7 rating and a 10 share for Fox. Tops NBC 6.6 rating, 10 share, 5.78 share for CBS, and ABC last place at 5. A rating with a 7 share, and so let's see. Anyway, I am very amazed, because the surge speech I don't think had high ratings, and I have some polling numbers too. I'm curious to know what you think, whether or not anything. When he has given speeches in the past, let me back up. When he's talked in the past, usually he gets a little bump up in his approval ratings. With the surge speech that he gave, a week or two ago, not only did he not get a bump up, his numbers actually went down. So but you did not watch it. Did you even watch the Democratic response?
Oh, I certainly did, yeah.
And what did you think?
Well, I think what's his name?
James Webb. Bold and aggressive is what the Washington Post described his response.
I love the response, and I heard a comment that he could have, added some other issues that he didn't add to it. But nevertheless, I thought it was pretty strong. A lot of fortitude there, a lot of energy. A lot of masculinity in there, makes you think. But I don't know. But, we can have criticisms of Mr. Bush, but holy cow, I mean, the guy is still in power and everything.
Well, and you know what? He's just gotten this no-confidence vote the day after the State of the Union address, and he doesn't care. They didn't care whatever he had to say, continue to support me. I have no strategy, but continue to support me anyway. So they're not listening to him, and he doesn't care what they have to say either, so it's a two-way street there. Mark, thank you so much for calling. I appreciate hearing from you. 349-1320, 866, 626, 1320, David, in Davis. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, David.
Hi. I watched it, and it was painful. I mean, I didn't enjoy it.
Why did you watch? Because it was a homework assignment?
I just felt I had to be involved. I mean, if I'm going to criticize this guy and think so poorly of him, then I think I need to, have the information at hand.
Right.
So that's why I watched. And I certainly did really admire Webb's response to it.
Well, Webb is a genuine, Webb is a genuine military guy. Webb really has fought. He's got a kid in Iraq, which Dickie, his two daughters, I don't think are in Iraq. They are.
They're partying somewhere.
Yes, exactly. Or I used to say caught between Iraq and a hard place, but mostly for them, they're in the hard place, but we won't go there.
Yeah, Webb has the credentials.
Huh?
Webb has the credentials.
Yes, he does have the credentials. And not only that, it is being reported that he wrote that speech. Now, remember, he has got a tremendous resume. This is a guy who has a law degree. This is a guy who was, I think, an assistant secretary of the Navy. This is a guy who has written 6 best-selling thrillers, and he's a screenwriter, so some of these have been made into films. I mean, he's got a tremendous resume. And he fought in Vietnam. I mean, what has Dickey done? Dickey has been a failure his whole life. I like the line one of you shared with us, which is that he's probably inhaled half the country of Peru right up his nose. And when here he is, he's trying to be gracious to Nancy Pelosi in an historic moment. And what does he do? He's like Arnold. He's like maybe many of us who have the good part of us and then the bad part of our. You know, there's the good Dickey and the not-so-good Dickey. And I think the not-so-good Dickey outweighs the good Dickey. But in any event, he couldn't wait to sabotage himself by greeting the Democrat majority. Democrat majority. It is an insult. It is an insult. So just like Arnold, who, you know, seems to have the world on a string, but he's cracking his bones left and right, and the more he's getting frail and fragile, the more orange his hair and makeup become. Well, Dickey, you know, here he is, the president, and he can't wait to kind of mess things up. I don't know. I just thought in that tiny little detail told us an awful lot about him. I thank you, David, for the call. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Jorge in Sac. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Jorge.
Hey, Enid, you got it all wrong. People didn't tune in to see Bush. They tuned in to see the Democrats. This is a historic moment with Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats back in power. That's why people tuned in to see that. And
the
refreshing new faces and to see the beginning of this end of a moron that Bush is. That's why people tuned in.
Well, you're probably right about that. All right, if you're going to look in the tea leaves, Jorge, how well do you think he did?
Oh, you know what? I don't listen to anything the guy says. I mean, he has good speech writers, but none of what he says, you know, he means. He says anything and he never follows through. So, I mean, his words mean absolutely nothing. So if you love Bush, you like the speech. If you don't like Bush, no matter what he says, you know the guy's track record. Judge him on what he's done, not on what he says.
Well, wait a minute. Well, as long as you're mentioning it, all right. In 2001, he talked about No Child Left Behind and tax cuts. In 2002, it was the access of evil, or weevil, and domestic security. 2003, AIDS in Africa and Iraq. 2004, immigration, same-sex marriage. Like, what does that have to do with the State of the Union? 2005, Social Security. And embryonic stem cell research, and 2006, oil dependence. He talked about energy last year, too. So you know what? These are just marketing. He's a snake oil salesman, and these are just marketing. He's marketing some kind of concept. They do focus group interviews. They figure out what people will respond to. But you know what? The old tricks are not working anymore, Jorge. That's the good news here. That's the headline.
The thing is, he couldn't talk about Iraq, obviously, because he couldn't hang his hat on that. That's been an utter failure.
But he's been talking about Iraq. I have the speech here. More than half of the speech was devoted to Iraq.
I realize that, but he focused, a lot of that speech was focused on domestic policy, and he couldn't praise anything. He couldn't say any of the accomplishments that have been made in Iraq after 4 years of catastrophe. So he can't hang his hat on that. All he was saying was, please give me another chance. After I failed in 4 years, see what I've done, and please give me another chance. What is that?
After I failed for 6 years, and I failed even more miserably in this war, and I have no strategy, trust me some more. Give me some more money so I can gamble the rest of it away. I know I can make it back. I know I lost all that money for you, and I know I can make it back. Just give me some more.
Enid, if this was in a corporate world, and he failed miserably the way he has for our country, the man would have been fired.
No, he wouldn't. Oh, they might fire him and they give him $14 million golden parachute. What'd they give the guy from Home Depot? Zillions of dollars. The guy that just got fired from the president of the Gap, they gave him 14. You did a terrible job. You've had 3 terrible Christmases. Oh, and goodbye, and here's $14 million. Don't hurt yourself on the way out.
It doesn't make sense. You know, the man is an utter failure.
Yes.
He's asking for another chance. And all these lemmings and all these people that have their head in the sand are just willing to say, give him one more chance.
Yeah, you know? Give him no more. He's had too many chances and too many people's lives at stake. Jorge, I thank you. Thank you so much. An excellent point. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Robert in Browns Valley. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. I was able to watch it, and the reason I watched it was just to see the same old thing that Bush is going to, you know, throw up at us to try to get us to believe him.
Throw up at us so that we throw up at him.
Exactly. But I did want to make a comment, Enid, on James Webb.
Uh-huh.
I thought he came off strong.
Uh-huh.
And I liked the end of his speech when he said, if he doesn't know the way, we will show him the way. And I liked that. I think he ended his speech with something to that effect. I'm paraphrasing. There was something interesting that I wanted to bring up with you, and I don't know if you caught it or some of the listeners, but...
Well, let me just add, Bob, before you bring that up, here's what Chuck Hagel said. He said, I don't think we have ever had, this is now a Republican who fought in Vietnam. He says, I don't think we have ever had a coherent strategy. In fact, I would even challenge the administration today to show us the plan the president talked about the other night. There is no plan. I happen to know that Pentagon planners were on their way to CENTCOM over the weekend. They haven't even team B'd this plan. There is no strategy. This is a ping pong game with American lives. And then he goes on to say this, Hagel, we better be damn sure what we're doing, all of us, before we put 22,000 more lives into that grinder. And I want every one of you, every one of us, 100 senators, to look in that camera and you tell your people back home what you think. Don't hide anymore. None of us. He says if you don't have the balls to stand forward, then you ought to be out there selling shoes. But go ahead. What was the point you wanted to add?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree 100%. What he's telling them is step up to the plate if you're going to do something or get out and do something different.
That's right.
I understand that completely. I like that. There was something that was said last night that kind of took me, and it made me think about it. He mentioned, and this is Bush, in his speech, something, Enid, about civilians that they were going to recruit and they were going to go over there to fight. Now, civilians meaning that they weren't really going to be, it didn't sound like it was part of the military, or even the National
American
Guard.
Civilians, are you talking about, or are you talking about Iraqi civilians?
I think he was talking about American civilians that he was trying to say in something about recruiting and going over there and then maybe ending up in Iraq. But it didn't sound like they were going through the regular channels of what we do with our military when you go into, like, boot camp.
Well, I'll look through the speech and see if I can find it. I did hear a report, and I never heard it corroborated. Somebody told it to me that we were going to start seeking the equivalent of mercenaries, but I never heard that. I never heard that anyplace else, so I don't know if there's any truth to it.
And that's what it sounded like to me. And so hopefully maybe somebody can run that down and maybe you can speak to
We will look. We'll do some research on it. Robert, I thank you very much for the call. 349-1320, 866, 626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein. You are listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather on AM 1320 KCTC with Dan Mitchinson.
Well, thank you, Enid, and good afternoon. Early afternoon ride home looking pretty good. Few areas seeing the usual slowing. Some slowing westbound I-80 just west of Eureka Road. Also northbound 51 at East Street. Some slowing reported, and it looks like we have a disabled vehicle there. Also North Sacramento, paramedics on the way responding to a possible accident at Elkhorn Boulevard at 22nd. As a matter of fact, it looks like it's a hit and run, so use caution in that area. Your updated forecast, cool overnight with some patchy fog possible and a low near 34. Tomorrow, high clouds, 58 for Sacramento. 59 Elk Grove, and low 60s for Roseville. I'm Dan Mitchinson. More Enid Live and your calls coming up next on AM 1320 KCTC.
Dialing for democracy. It's Enid Live on AM 1320.
Sacramento's Left Channel.
Danelle Nicotri. Sunny day with tonight's AccuTerra forecast.
And folks, wasn't it just a perfect day for a terror alert? Bone chilling in the morning, clear and present danger in the afternoon, tapering off into cold sweats at night. Tomorrow, AccuTerra is predicting 100% chance of a really big terror alert to take our mind off bad economic news. Now, Kaida Sell coming down from Canada into here, the Great Lakes region, for folks in the Detroit and Saginaw, you might want to put on that extra layer of Kevlar. Our exclusive AccuTerra radar is picking up a lot of chatter out here in the Denver area, so stay away from chemical plants, nuclear facilities, and of course, the French fries at Arby's. Here in the west, some light showers of ammonium nitrate, a little sarin gas are possible in the Los Angeles area, but don't expect loss of life. The Santa Anas are going to push all that nasty gunk out. Here's your 5-day. Yellow, bluish yellow, yellow again, yellow gradually becoming orange, and orange back into yellow. And we've got an orangish red weekend on tap, so be sure to have plenty of bottled water and canned goods on hand. And that's terror. All right, make it a great day.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
Metro PCS presents more scenes from other wireless stores.
How's 1,000 free minutes sound?
Wow, are they anytime minutes?
Well, they're anytime minutes.
That's what I said.
You said anytime minutes.
So did you.
I said anytime minutes.
I just thought you said anytime with, like, a little accent.
Well, that's what I wanted you to think.
Okay, so what are any time minutes?
Well, they're like any time minutes, only the window of time where you can actually use them is very small. It's any, if you will.
How small?
Sundays from 4:11 a.m. to 4:12 a.m.
Wow, that's any weenie.
I love rhymes.
Stop counting minutes. Switch to Metro PCS and pay by the month, not by the minute. For $40 a month, you get all the local and long-distance calls you can make anytime. And there's no contract. Call 888-8-METRO-8 for a store near you or buy online at MetroPCS.com. Metro PCS.
Hello.
Permission to speak freely. Long distance in the continental U.S. Taxes and fees not included.
I'm the change bandit. Now give me all your change.
No, silly. Not like that.
Not like that.
No, just tell them how they can help by collecting the spare change from their friends, family, classmates, and co-workers. And donate it to the UC Davis Children's Hospital. All from our good friends at the Sacramento Credit Union.
They can? And all they have to do is register online at sacradiothon.com or ask their Sacramento Credit Union representative for more info? Well, why didn't you say so?
I just did, silly.
Think about this. Just a few years ago, you'd never have thought about buying a book, booking a hotel, or even buying an airline ticket online. Today, going online is the first place smart consumers look. LegalZoom.com has made it easy for smart, savvy consumers to be able to take care of common legal documents online. It's as simple as buying a book or securing your travel plans. You can form an LLC, last will and testament, or even register a trademark in minutes. LegalZoom.com saves most consumers up to 80% of the cost of going to an attorney. Yes, up to 80%. LegalZoom.com allows you to create common legal documents online at your own time and in the privacy of your home or office. Just answer some simple questions online, and LegalZoom.com takes care of the rest. For a limited time only, go to LegalZoom.com, and you'll receive a special discount by typing Talk Radio, all one word, in the box at checkout. Over a quarter of a million people and thousands more each day put their trust and confidence in LegalZoom.com. That's LegalZoom.com.
Live, local, and left, it's Enid Goldstein on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Wednesday edition of Enid Live, the post State of the Union address edition of Enid Live. Did you listen? Did you hear the Democratic response? What did you think? Do you think that the president did himself any good? And I do have some poll numbers, which I will share with you. But what are your thoughts? 349-1320, 866, 620-1320. The amazing thing is that the State of the Union speech pulled a higher ratings last night than American Idol. Can you believe that? A 6.7 rating and a 10 share for Fox, and I guess Fox was the leader. It topped NBC, it topped CBS. Also, it's being reported that it looks like Katie Couric and Bob Schieffer are kind of a couple when it comes to these big stories, and I don't think he's making $15 million a year, but you could comment on that. 349-1320, 866, 626-1320. Ann in Sacramento, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Ann.
I wanted to echo what I believe Robert was saying about the civilian corps. It was towards the end of the speech, and he was proposing a core of or a mix of civilian and military, which my antenna went up on that, so he wasn't the only one that heard that.
This was toward the end of the speech, because I have the speech in front of me. Do you remember which part of the speech?
Cause, it was towards the end of the speech when he was making proposals, I think, about
adding to the military?
Well, it's not adding to the military.
Oh, here it is. I see it. Okay, let me give it to you. He said, I'll preface it. One of the first steps, here's the paragraph. One of the first steps we can take together is to add to the ranks of our military so that the American Armed Forces are ready for all challenges ahead. Tonight, he said, I asked the Congress to authorize an increase in the size of our active Army and Marine Corps by 92,000. Where are they going to get them? In the next 5 years. A second task we can take on together is to design and establish a volunteer civilian reserve corps. Well, wait a minute. Don't we have the National Guard? Such a corps would function much like our military reserve.
It would ease
the burden on the armed forces by allowing us to hire civilians with critical skills to serve on missions abroad when America needs them, and it would give people across America who do not wear the uniform a chance to serve in the defining struggle of our time. Well, what do you take that to mean? Because, don't forget, the military, much of the military functions have been outsourced.
It's privatized, like the helicopter that went down yesterday or today or whenever.
Right, at Blackstone.
Was all civilian. So this is what has concerned me from the very beginning, that there's, I think, at least 60,000 or more private civilian contractors in there now.
But how would this differ? How would the private contract? There's about 100,000 private contractors in Iraq, and we have about 130,000 military. So you can see what the ratios are. How would a civilian reserve corps add to, bulk up, take away from private contracting?
I don't know. I have no idea, but it's concerning. And I just wanted to call to echo what the other person has said, because that struck me last night too, and it's always concerned me about this operation.
Well, these people, whatever they say on the surface, you can imagine that there are all these...
There's an agenda.
There is an agenda. That's absolutely right. And it's an agenda to benefit them and not their... But the snake oil makes it sound like it's just the greatest thing in the world for us.
Enid, when he proposed the surge or whatever you want to call it last week, I was watching the NPR Nightly Business Report, and one of the Wall Street people was just absolutely giddy. They were asking him what would be the effect on Wall Street. Of course, I mean, Wall Street is happy about this surge because it's more contracts. Oh, well. At any rate, I just wanted to...
I know, it's sad. All right, Anne, this is an excellent point, and thanks for reprising it. Taking a look at it, you don't know exactly what they mean, but you know they're up to no...
There was more to that speech if people needed to listen to it.
Right. But, you know, when you're listening to a lot of verbiage, it can get lost.
Well, he speaks in short sentences, as long as you don't go to sleep like John McCain.
Well, cheaper than Somanex. Thank you, Anne. I appreciate the call. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Charles and Carmichael. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Charles.
Hi there. I'm probably a little off here, but we already have that security firm is called Blackwater USA.
Right.
You can look them up on your browser, and if you look around in there, I was glancing today, they're talking about getting private security up to a brigade size. That's 1,500 to 3,500 military policemen. That's a private army, and that's something you got to watch out for. Remember the Iran-Contra affair? Well,
yeah.
Remember you're talking about your 75% of profits out of the oil.
But tell me what your larger point is.
Huh?
What? Tell me the larger point you're making. In other words, this is just a bonanza for private contractors.
Well, not just that. It's you got a threat to our basic freedom. You know, how would you like to be put up with a paramilitary called Blackwater running run around Arizona? I mean, they run around.
Well, you have already got private jails, private prisons. Uh-huh. You have got private school educational schools, for profit, not private schools that are nonprofit, but for profit private schools. You have everything. That is every way that they can strip mine you and this country, they are doing it. Every time you have these private contractors coming in, they make a lot of money and they do it at our expense. You would have people in the military, if we had enough people who we weren't incarcerating over there for stop loss orders and extended periods of time, we would have enough people, I think, to do the work, and we would do it at a fraction of the price.
Well, but remember something here. If they ever get the money to pay these private armies, then you really got a problem. Historically, it's happened before. We had the Iran-Contra affair. We had those kind of things. If you want to go back, I know this is kind of stretchy a little bit, but good old Augustus Caesar, that's how he took over the Roman Empire. They had a republic, and basically he got his money from the military districts that the Senate didn't have any control, and pretty soon they were gone.
Well,
scary.
All right, well, let me ask you this question. Since since what the president was asking for in the State of the Union address last night was for the Congress to stake him just one more time, and to have more patience. And, you know, this is the way forward. And what he got today was a no-confidence vote. That's number one. Number two, what the Congress wants is for him not to, what the Senate wants is for him not to go forward with this surge. And Chuck Hagel, people from his own party, and he doesn't care. Neither care about the other. And I think Chuck Hagel is saying something really important. You've got to step up to the plate now and you've got to stand up and make your feelings known. You can't just namby-pamby anymore. You've really got to make your feelings known. You can't do a Hillary.
Well, I've been out at 16th and Broadway the best I can on that, but let me tell you something. My reading of Mr. Bush is, and I don't know the guy, but I used to do hearings, and my reading is, this is the guy, he isn't going to do anything, he's not going to negotiate anything, he's going to use you to delay and do whatever he wants to do. He's not going to do anything.
No, he's going to run out the clock so that whoever else comes in, and it won't be John Kerry this time, will have to do the mop-up. Charles, we're going to have to leave it there. I thank you for the call. 349-1320. Dave and Sack, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Dave.
Hello. A little-known fact, Secretary of Defense Gates is actually involved with the Iran-Contra years ago. He was the guy who was selling all the guns for profit for that.
The other thing, a little-known fact about Gates, is guess who he worked for? Carter, Jimmy Carter, and he wrote in a memoir that he really thought Carter got a bad rap, that Carter was actually tough and tougher with the Soviets than he ever got credit for, and he really sang the praises of Jimmy Carter, oddly enough. So, Dave, thanks for the update. 349-1320, 866-620-61320. I'm Enid Goldstein. You are listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather on AM 1320 KCTC with Dan Mitchinson.
All right, thank you, Enid. Things picking up in North Sacramento. We have an ambulance blocking at least one lane at College Oak Drive. That's at Auburn Boulevard. Also a hit and run. Doesn't look like any injuries. Eastern Avenue, that's just south of El Camino Avenue in North Sacramento. And on 80 eastbound westbound traffic still up to speed at about 55 miles an hour. That should be eastbound and westbound rather. Your update forecast for Sacramento. Night's going to be a little bit on the cool side, down into the mid-30s. And then for Thursday, a high near 58 with mostly sunny skies and a few high clouds. That's a look at traffic and weather together. More with Enid coming up next on AM 1320 KCTC.
It is significant because it emphasizes democracy in action.
Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Top three.
New rule. Jewish people have to start... The Jewish population in America dropped 5% in the last decade, which may explain why this country's finances have gone to... Breed, you sons of Abraham, breed! We need you. Israel needs you. Kobe Bryant, Robert Blake, and Phil Spector need you. Without Jews, who's going to write all those sitcoms about blacks and Hispanics? New rule. Living in a box for 6 weeks doesn't make you a magician, it makes you homeless.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
What is a miracle? A miracle described in the Webster's Dictionary is an extraordinary event manifesting itself in human affairs. You know, each and every day, miracles happen at the UC Davis Children's Hospital. And now, with your help, you can be a part of the miracle process as well. From now through February 24th, when you purchase a 9-piece miracle meal from KFC, $1 goes directly to the UC Davis Children's Hospital. Did you know that the UC Davis Children's Hospital is the region's only pediatric intensive care unit caring for over 60,000 children each and every year? That is why this year the KFC family is proud to have partnered up with the UC Davis Children's Hospital, part of the Children's Miracle Network, to help make sure miracles continue to happen. And now with the help of KFC's Miracle Meal, you can be a part of one too. So do your part and go to a participating KFC for a great meal today and help continue to make miracles happen with the KFC Miracle Meal. For more information on how you can continue to make miracles happen, log on to www.kfcmiraclemeals.com.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Stay with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
You got your mother and your brother, every other undercover telling you what to say. You think I'm stupid, but the truth.
5 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live, yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Well, much to our surprise, as we have discussed, the State of the Union speech last night pulled the highest ratings it beat out American Idol. If you can believe that, I am very surprised. Because some of you said, well, if you think, you know, it's a pack of lies, why are you even running it? But it is our obligation to run it. And we talk so much about politics, we just have to. And we had to do the Democratic response, and especially coming from Senator Webb, it had to be interesting, especially, and the Washington Post called it bold and aggressive and all of that. So, much to our amazement, Bush's speech beats American Idol. Now, how well the polling right after the speech? And here's what we found out. This is CBS reporting this. I don't know if I believe it, but here it is. 82% of the speech watchers last night generally approved of the president's proposals. 18% disapproved. I don't know how 82%, since most of the country doesn't support the president, I don't know why 82% would have approved of him. Mr. Bush did rally support somewhat for the troop surge, at least among speech viewers. Before the speech, 43% of them backed the surge, which is, of course, less than half. They were more likely to support it than Americans overall. But after the speech, 52% of watchers now support a troop increase of 20,000 troops to Baghdad. And so that would be 9% or 9-point increase from 43% supporting the troop increase to 52%. 68% of speech viewers say that the president will not be able to accomplish his goals. Now, this seems to be in opposition to the 52% who are now supporting the troop increase. 68% of the viewers of the speech say that the president will not be able to accomplish his goals. 32% of the speech watchers think the president will be able to.
KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel. Left Channel. And streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
Pressure on the new strategy grows.
A Senate committee says no to the president's Iraq plan. I'm Bob Fuss on Capitol Hill.
It took more than 40 years to do it, but the FBI has finally solved the case of two murdered teenagers from the civil rights era. I'm Stephanie Lambidakis at the Justice Department.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Democratic Senator Joe Biden led the charge.
Mr. Chairman.
Aye. Clerk will please report the vote.
12 ayes, 9 nays.
The amendment passes.
CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports.
The day after President Bush asked Congress to let his Iraq plan work, the Senate Foreign Relations Committee passed a resolution rejecting it, declaring adding more troops is not in the national interest. All Democrats and Republican Chuck Hagel supported it.
And we better be damn sure we know what we're doing, all of us, before we put 22,000 more Americans into that grinder.
Republican Dick Lugar says he too has doubts the president's plan will work, but opposed the non-binding resolution.
This vote will force nothing on the president, but it will confirm to our friends and allies that we are divided.
The full Senate will vote and is expected to pass this next week. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Some of those additional troops have already arrived in Iraq, and CBS News correspondent Cammy McCormick reports the campaign to pacify Baghdad is now well underway.
As part of the president's plans to sweep the capital for insurgents and weapons, U.S. and Iraqi troops returned to Haifa Street, where for several hours the battles raged. A U.S. military statement calls Haifa Street a key location and reducing sectarian violence here vital to handing over security to the Iraqis.
The Senate Armed Services Committee has approved General David Petraeus to command U.S. forces in Iraq. Confirmation by the full Senate, including promotion to four-star rank, is expected tomorrow. 3,200 soldiers of the Army's 10th Mountain Division are having their tour in Afghanistan extended by 4 months. U.S. commanders expect heavy fighting this spring. Now this.
Have you heard the one about the guy who's looking for a good used car and actually finds one? No, really. That's because he got a Honda certified used car. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection, then backed by a 7-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty from the original in-service date and a 12-month, 12,000-mile limited non-powertrain warranty. And now get low APR financing on all certified used Honda Odyssey and Pilot models. Hey, it may be used, but it's still a Honda.
See dealer for financing and limited warranty details.
Hey, I'm here with the Tuttles from TLC's American Chopper.
Hey, this is Mike.
Paul Sr.
Paul Jr.
So, hey, Polly, I hear you're gearing up for a new season now on TLC, the Learning Channel.
What was?
He asked me a question.
Why do you do stupid things?
Hey, can you tell me about the new network, TLC?
I know who doesn't.
What about the new shop?
I think you're delusional.
You're an idiot.
And I'd like to thank everybody.
Shut up, Mike.
Okay, hey, all right, guys, thanks for coming in. Hey, everybody, don't forget, American Chopper, all new episode tomorrow night at 9, 8 Central, only on TLC.
The case goes back to 1964, but even though so much time has passed, federal authorities now believe they can prove who killed two black teenagers in Mississippi. CBS's Stephanie Lambidakis reports a suspect was arrested today.
Now old and sick, reputed Klansman James Seal has been charged with kidnapping that led to the deaths of the two teens, Henry D. and Charles Moore. Seal has always been a prime suspect, but Mississippi dropped the case and it lay dormant for decades. In this revived investigation, prosecutors found a new legal avenue, establishing a federal connection because Seal allegedly crossed state lines briefly from Louisiana into Mississippi.
For years, Seal's relatives tried to protect him by telling reporters he was dead. Senator John Kerry almost beat President Bush in 2004.
We came close, certainly close enough to be tempted to try again.
But Kerry announced today he will resist that temptation.
This isn't the time for me to mount a presidential campaign.
Instead, he'll run for re-election to the Senate from Massachusetts. Roger Simon is chief political columnist at Politico.com.
As the former nominee of the Democratic Party, he had, to some people's thinking, almost a duty to run again. But the Democrats rarely nominate someone who has lost.
After his botched joke last fall, Simon doesn't think Kerry could raise the money for a credible campaign. Following up on his State of the Union proposal to cut gasoline consumption, President Bush visited the DuPont plant in Wilmington, Delaware today.
Our patented technology.
He got a briefing on research into alternative fuels and gave employees his vision of the automotive future.
One of these days, you're going to plug your car in your garage, and you're going to be able to drive the first 20 miles on electricity. And your car is not going to have to look like a golf cart.
The administration proposes to spend $1.6 billion to develop.
The line is forming to the left. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Five minutes after. after 4 o'clock. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live, yours until 7, 3 to 7, weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. And are you telling 3 to 4 or 5 people every single day about AM 1320 KCTC, about Morning Retort with Scott and Sims, about Enid Live 3 to 7? I hope you are, because that's how more people are going to realize that we are here. So let me give you all the ways that we can be in touch with each other. You can email me, Enid@kctc.com. We stream live, 1320leftchannel.com. And the best thing to do is to call. And the number to do that, it's always toll-free. It doesn't cost you a penny. If you're in the 916 area code, the number is 349-1320, 349-1320. And if you're not, 866-626-1320, 866-626-1320. We've been talking about the polling, and you may have some comments that you want to make, because the polling that was taken directly after the State of the Union address last night really makes no sense. If you're just joining us, we had a special edition of Enid Live yesterday where we took the President's State of the Union address at 6 o'clock, the Democratic response following it, and then your phone calls following all the speeches for an extended edition of Enid Live. And we're talking about the fallout from the State of the Union address. It topped American Idol, if you can believe that. And I want to share with you something that we haven't talked about, and that is that Wolf Blitzer on CNN has done an interview with Dick Cheney. He asks Cheney a lot of questions. This is kind of a doozy of an interview. So I'll try to give you some of the highlights of it. They greet each other, and Wolf, who really, finally sent away for some Viagra in his spine, now that it's safe to question authority, is doing so with a certain amount of vigor in this interview. So he's got Dick Cheney on the hot seat, and he says, Wolf says, we heard the president mention Osama bin Laden. Why can't you find this guy? And so Cheney says, well, obviously he's well hidden. Well, duh. We've been looking for him for some time. I think the fact that he's gone totally to ground, he doesn't communicate except perhaps by courier. He's not up in the air. He's not putting out videos the way he did in the past. And Wolf says, well, but he's number two. I'm in al-Zawahiri is. And Dick Cheney says, al-Zawahiri is much, much more visible. Yes. And Wolf says, I mean, he's on television almost as much as I am. And then Dick Cheney says, well, I don't know if anybody is on TV as much as you are, Wolf, but he's more of a public figure than Osama is. If you've ever been in that part of the world, it's some of the most rugged territory imaginable. I've flown over it, been on the ground in Afghanistan, Pakistan, up along the Khyber Pass, and so forth. And the general area is a remarkably difficult area to get people into. So, you know, it must be like Roach Motel. They check in, but they don't check out. You know, so Osama bin Laden was able to get in there. How come we can't? We were very close to getting him. Do you remember that story? So this is Dick Cheney's explanation. So Wolf is asking Cheney, is bin Laden still alive? And Cheney says, well, I think so. And Wolf says, do you think he's in Pakistan, Afghanistan, on the border someplace? And remember now, what we know is that Pakistan, its intelligence services are helping the Taliban. We know that. That was reported in the New York Times just a few days ago. And then, because the reporter, female reporter, was working on that story, she got roughed up and punched in the head by the Pakistani intelligence services themselves. They stole her computer. They stole her cell phone. They were able to access all of her sources, many of whom wanted to be confidential. And they paid visits to all of those people. So we know about the Pakistani secret intelligence services. Well, Dick Cheney doesn't want to say where he thinks Osama bin Laden is. He says, I don't want to be that precise. Well, he probably doesn't know. Wolf says, because, you know, this is so frustrating to many people, more than 5 years after 9/11, not only that bin Laden is out there, but that his deputy pops up every now and then on TV and makes these threats. And so Dick Cheney says, yeah, but look what we've done. We have not gotten Osama bin Laden, obviously, because he's very careful. And say, he doesn't communicate, and he's not sort of in direct contact on a regular basis. But we've taken out several times the whole layer of leadership underneath Osama bin Laden and Zawahiri. One of the most dangerous jobs in the world is to be number three in the Al-Qaeda organization, because a lot of them are now dead or in custody. So we have done a lot of damage to that senior leadership, and he references Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and many others too. So Wolf says, well, the criticism is that you took your eye off the ball by going into Iraq and in effect reducing the focus of attention on Al-Qaeda and bin Laden. And Dick Cheney says, well, that's just not true. He says that's just not true. See, I want you to remember this, boys and girls and buckaroos. When someone says something that's actually true, here's how you come back and say, well, that's just not true, Wolf. I heard that charge. It's simply not true. The fact of the matter is we can do more than one thing at a time, and we have. And we've been very successful with going after Al-Qaeda. They're still out there. They're still a formidable force, but they're not nearly as formidable as they once were in terms of numbers and so forth. We have successfully defended the country for over 5 years against any further attacks. They've tried. We know repeatedly. We know they tried to last summer to capture airlines coming out of the UK and to blow them up over the US, and then he gives some examples. And so Wolf references what the president said last night, and then the then they have some more conversations about it, and then Wolf says, you know, but he didn't, you know, but he says about Saddam Hussein, he starts talking, he says, you know, he says Saddam Hussein did not have stockpiles of weapons of mass destruction. Cheney says, well, he corrupted the entire effort to keep him contained. He was bribing senior officials of other governments. The All for Food program had been totally undermined, and he had, in fact, produced and used weapons of mass destruction. Yeah, well, Wolf said, yeah, but that was in the 1980s. And Dick Cheney says, well, you know, you can go back and argue the whole thing all over again, Wolf, but what we did in Iraq in taking down Saddam Hussein was exactly the right thing to do. The world is much safer today because of it. There have been three national elections in Iraq. There's a democracy established there. There's a constitution, a new democratically elected government. Saddam has been brought to justice and executed. His sons are dead, deader than Francisco Franco. His government is gone, and the world is better off for it, said Dick Cheney. Now, you can argue about that all you want, but that's history. That's what we did, and you and I can have this debate. We've had it before, but the fact of the matter is, in terms of the threats to the U.S. from Al-Qaeda, for example, attacks on the U.S., and then so then Wolf says, but yeah, but the situation is unstable. And Dick Cheney says, yes, it is. And then Wolf says, and the president himself speaks about a nightmare scenario right now. And the Dick Cheney says, yes. And then and Wolf says, yeah, you know, it's a terrible situation in Iraq. And Dick Cheney says, no, it's not. No, there are problems. You know, there are ongoing problems. But we have, in fact, accomplished our objectives of getting rid of the old regime. And there is a new regime in place. It's been there for less than a year. And by the way, members of the Iraqi parliament, they don't show up. They haven't been showing up since November. They're going to try to find him now to get him to show up. Far too soon. It's been less than a year, Dick Cheney says, far too soon for you guys to write them off. They have got a democratically written constitution, first ever in that part of the world. They've had three national elections, so there's a lot of success. I want to ask you a question. What does this administration know about democracy when it is reading your mail, when it wants to know what books you checked out of the library, when it's listening into your phone calls? I mean, what are they talking about? What do they know about a democracy? And then the interview takes a lot of different turns. It goes to John McCain, but the best part is at the end. When Wolf Blitzer is asking about his pregnant gay daughter. So let's see what he says about that. Oh, this is so juicy. He doesn't like that question at all. So let's see. And he says good things about Don Rumsfeld. So now Wolf says, well, we're out of time, but a couple of issues I want to raise with you. Your daughter, Mary, she's pregnant. All of us are happy. We're so thrilled. She's going to have a baby. You're going to have another grandchild. Some of the critics, though, are suggesting, for example, somebody at Focus on the Family said Mary Cheney's pregnancy raises the question of what's best for children. Just because it's possible to conceive a child outside the relationship of a married mother and father does not mean that it is best for the child. So he's quoting Focus on the Family. How do you want to respond to that? Wolf Blitzer asked Dick Cheney. So here's what Dick Cheney said. No, I don't. And so Wolf tries again. Well, she's obviously a good daughter. The vice president said, I'm delighted. I'm about to have a sixth grandchild, Wolf, and obviously think the world of both my daughters and all of my grandchildren. And I think, frankly, he said that you are out of line with that question. And Wolf says, well, I think all of us appreciate. And Dick Cheney says, I think you are out of line with that question. And Wolf says, your daughter, we like your daughters. Believe me, I'm very, very sympathetic to Liz and to Mary. I like them both. This was just a question that's come up, and it's a responsible, fair question. And Dick Cheney says, I just fundamentally disagree with your perspective. And Wolf says, well, I want to congratulate you on, on having another grandchild. Let's wind up on a soft note, he said, running for the hills. Nancy Pelosi, what was it like sitting up there next to her, blah, 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 blah. So was that question out of line about Dick Cheney's daughter? This is and all these other questions. I'm surprised that Wolf Blitzer took as hard a line with Cheney as he did, so he must now realize that it's safe for him to do that. What are your thoughts? 349-1320, 866, 626, 1320. And what we have also is ABC reporting that a lot of Republicans are now ganging up on the president. And you know what? There should be more Republicans ganging up on the president. He's a horrible president. Here's what Nancy Pelosi is up to, and let me share this with you. Democratic leaders in Congress are demanding that the Bush administration complete a long-delayed Iraq intelligence report. The House and Senate leaders and Intelligence Committee chairman sent a letter to the Director of National Intelligence urging prompt completion of a national intelligence estimate that was first requested by Congress 6 months ago. Congressional leaders also asked that the intelligence community provide an unclassified summary in keeping with the need to protect intelligence sources and methods. Ted Kennedy, who attempted last summer to force the release of this estimate, says it's scandalous that the intelligence community has not updated its national intelligence estimate on Iraq in more than 2 years. It is appalling that the president didn't request it before he announced his latest escalation of the war. So here we go. The Democrats are stepping on the gas, and they want an intelligence estimate. So let me ask you this question. In Wolf Blitzer's interview of Dick Cheney, which is probably airing even as we speak on CNN, he's asking a lot of questions. How come you didn't bring in Osama bin Laden? How can you say it's a good situation in Iraq? What were the reasons even for going to war when we all knew that everything was contained there and there never were weapons of mass destruction? And he ends the interview by asking about his Dick Cheney's daughter's pregnancy, the gay daughter, who really, I think, helped to subvert the gay community, because she was very happy to work on anti-gay marriage issues on behalf of her father's candidacy and George Bush's candidacy. So I don't have a lot of respect for his daughter, but, you know, this is what she wants to do. She's doing it. And here is an administration that have used the gay community as piñatas. And now his daughter, who is gay, is pregnant. And so this is an administration also that has liked to besot itself with family values. And I think it's a legitimate question. But Dick Cheney didn't. He said, you're out of line. So instead of answering, instead of having a question, the best defense is a good offense. What are your thoughts about that? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together on AM 1320 KCTC with Dan Mitchinson.
All right, thank you, Enid. It is 419, still working on a collision in North Sac this afternoon, Fair Oaks Boulevard at Treehouse Lane. Westbound traffic on 80 moving along, keeping the speed up this afternoon. And on 65 just south of Sunset Boulevard, this is in Auburn, we have a disabled car that has pulled over to the side. Your updated forecast for Sacramento. Nights remaining on the cool side, down to the mid-30s tonight. And then for Thursday, looks like we'll have more sunshine with a few high clouds and a high near 58 in downtown, 59 in Elk Grove, and 57 in Folsom. Right now, 62 degrees. I'm Dan Mitchinson. More Enid Live and your calls coming up next on AM 1320 KCTC.
Keeping the metal to the pedal. It's Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
Small business.
America.
Levine on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
On the Wednesday edition of Enid Live, I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Here's what we're talking about. We're talking about the State of the Union address last night. If you saw it, its ratings were higher than for American Idol, if you can believe that. I'm really surprised. Apparently the poll numbers, at least in the one survey that we have, were better for the president after the speech than going into it. But those numbers were so odd that I don't know if I'm believing those numbers. We're talking about an interview that Wolf Blitzer conducted with Dick Cheney, and one of the questions he asked a lot of tough questions, actually, and Cheney lies as he often does when Wolf Blitzer says something you haven't gotten Osama bin Laden, or we didn't need to get Saddam Hussein, or there was no reason to go in because there were no weapons of mass destruction. That's not true, he says. You know, he'll say that's not true, even if it in fact is true. The last, close to the end of the interview, Wolf Blitzer asks Dick Cheney about his gay daughter who has become pregnant. She has lived with the same partner for, about 15 years or so, and Cheney gets bent out of shape. He said that's out of line. The other daughter, Liz Cheney, her husband has all these connections to Lockheed Martin companies, and Lynn Cheney apparently said on the board, companies that have profited immensely from the war in Iraq, and that is the daughter who wrote the op-ed piece we talked about yesterday in the Washington Post, accusing Hillary of having no spine and being not the right person when it comes to war issues, and the daughter, Liz Cheney, believes that the war ought to continue and more sacrifice ought to happen because the longer the war continues, the richer they become from those Lockheed Martin contracts. I'll give you some of the information. The big story is that John Kerry is not going to run for president, and I wonder what you think about that. I'm not surprised. The money is not going to go to him. The money's going to go to the two front runners, and those would be Hillary and Barack Obama. So I think he's wise, and I don't really think he had a chance, and for a lot of reasons, too. But they're talking about the gaffe he made in Los Angeles when he was speaking on behalf of Phil Angelides. But I think it's really deeper than that. I think it's the way he conducted himself, and he allowed himself to be swift-boated. He took too much advice from his advisors in the last race, and it ended with too wimpy a finish, I think. What are your thoughts about John Kerry dropping out of the race for president? 349-1320. I mean, he didn't have a prayer. I'm surprised he was considering it, but I never thought he had a prayer. Gary in Roseville. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Gary.
Hi. Hey, I just want to basically talk about the Wolf Blitzer question. As a gay man, I think the question was totally appropriate. These are hypocrites and need to be called on the carpet for it. You know, you may recall during the vice presidential debate, Edwards complimented Cheney on having accepting his gay daughter.
Yeah.
And made a big brouhaha about that. Oh, we were indignant that you should ask this question. And we were just thought this was impossible and
all right, as a gay man, what do you think about that? Because I thought it was sly of Edwards. And the reason I thought it was a way to reference the fact that she was gay when this administration was using gays as piñatas, that's number one. At the same time, what they said about the daughter was generous and gracious, as I recall.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's quite appropriate. And Edwards' pardon, I think, is quite appropriate on Wolf Blitzer.
And do you remember what Mary Cheney said, the gay daughter said? She called Edwards a slime. She called Kerry a slime. She said even worse about him, an SOB, a slime.
I read Mary Cheney's book, and, it's typical. My father's wonderful, and George Bush is wonderful, and they can do no harm. It's just pathetic.
I agree
anyway,
with
you. The question was very appropriate.
I think it was appropriate, too, and particularly to an administration that has preached about family values and has been as blatantly anti-gay. And here's what's even more reprehensible about this administration. It turns out, in the wake of the Foley issue, and by the way, the FBI admits that it mishandled a lot of that investigation, in the wake of the Foley issue, what comes out are how many high-level, really high-level staffers who work for Republicans who are gay. And openly gay. So here they are, kind of helping to undermine their own community. I don't understand that mentality. Can you explain it, Gary?
Yeah, I wish I could. I think they're a whole bunch of hypocrites. I mean, they talk about moral values and take a look at all the people who've been caught in their net of being doing things that are not appropriate. So It's just absolutely crazy.
I agree. I thank you very much for the call. Sure. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. We're talking about a lot of things. It's our usual flea market of ideas around here, and it's a train. Jump on it. We're talking about the question that Wolf Blitzer put to Dick Cheney. Remember now, these are big family values people. And Lynn Cheney. One of the books she wrote was a real steamy potboiler romance with gay sex in it, which she never lists now on her resume, now that she sanitized herself. But in any event, these people are hypocrites. They have preached family values. Their base has been the fundamental right wing, or the religious wrong, as I like to call them. And they have gone after the gay community and tried to use them as pinatas and wedge issues. So I think it was a perfectly legitimate question for Wolf Blitzer to ask Dick Cheney, and he didn't want to talk about it. Out of line, he said. Out of line. And, you know, put up a big barrier and a fence around that particular question. What are your thoughts about that? And what are your thoughts about the fact that John Kerry is not going to run for president? He lost to Bush in 2004, did not demand a recount. I think he must have had the wimpiest of advisors. And I have to tell you, maybe it's just me, and I'm not running for national office, and I'm not keeping in mind the red states and some of the moderates and so on that you have to appeal to. But I think that more Democrats ought to start sounding like Chuck Hagel. Now, Chuck Hagel can do it because he fought in Vietnam. He is a Republican. He's got a lot of respect going for him, and he's saying it's time to stand up and be counted and never to send these people into Iraq, any more people into Iraq, unless we have an absolute plan, unless we are convinced it is the absolute right thing to do. So good for him. So people like Hillary better stand up to the plate, and I'd like to hear what she has to say about it. She is only responding to what Barack Obama is saying, I think. 349-1320, what do you think? Mike in Elk Grove. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hello, Enid. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
Sorry to weigh in after the state of the disuse of Bush and company last night. I hope it went well.
It did.
But a couple things real quick. Well, Dick Cheney, he's a little bit beside himself because of the fact that, you know, he wasn't on Fox News, so he can't handle the tougher questions, first and foremost. John Kerry, good conversation there. A lot of stops to give in too soon. Swift boat didn't, should have came out swinging against O'Neill and that Swift boat.
That's right.
Week.
That's
Sorry
right.
That. And then on the George Bush, did he weigh in one iota about the monumental effect that we're going to have on our troops with the post-traumatic stress disorder, or the disability payments that are going to have to go to our troops, and then getting VA care? Did he weigh in on anything?
He didn't
like
say
that?
A word, and what we know about this administration is that they have tried to cut VA care where they could.
Yep, that's what we've heard numerous times.
Yeah, and also one of the things he did not discuss is Katrina, and what a horrific catastrophe that was, and continues to be a catastrophe. Lot of PTSD there, post-traumatic stress disorder in New Orleans.
Absolutely. Did you? Are you still getting any conversation from any Republicans that still support Bush after the State of the Union?
Yes, actually, and I think just continue to listen because I think you're going to hear some more, Mike, and I thank you very much. 349-1320. If you're a Republican, I would love to hear from you on State of the post-State of the Union. Did anything that the president say, did anything convince you to support him, not support him? What are your thoughts? Jeff in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Hi, Jeff.
How you doing, Enid?
I'm doing well.
Yes. Well, to answer that immediate question, yes, I do support the president, and the State of the Union did help me to solidify my belief. But that's...
Wait. What was it the president said that made you want to support him more, that made you want to fall into his arms with great love in your heart?
Well, the fact that he is trying a new strategy... And that we should
What would that new strategy consist of, Jeff, do you think?
Well, I mean, he's adding more troops. He's trying something new.
Yeah, well, what is the new thing he's trying besides adding more troops to the same old, same old?
Right. New
is that troops, new? Is that what's new? He's adding more troops to the same old, same old?
A new focus on everything.
A new focus on everything.
But I wanted to talk about the gay issue.
Yes.
And the fact that I think the Democrats and the progressive is using the gay as a prop, and they're really trying to get the conservatives not to vote for the Republicans because they...
Well, wait a minute. You're saying the Democrats... Wait, I'm not following you. You're saying that the Democrats are using the gay issue so that people don't vote for Republicans, but the Republicans have not been using the gay issues?
You call us hypocrites for having gay people work among us. Now, what do you want us to do? Find them and fire them? Is that what you want?
Well, wait. You're hiring gay people to work for you, and you're undermining them, and you're trying to actively use the gay community as pinatas and wedge issues and be anti, for example, anti-gay marriage. Why would anybody who is gay want to support somebody who feels that way?
Because we're honest. We do not agree with the gay agenda. We tell them that, but we let them work among us, and you're telling us that we're hypocrites because we let them work among us. And
what do you mean you let them work among us? Don't they have the same rights that everybody else?
People in the Republican Party who want us to find them and fire them?
Well, wait a minute. So then, if there's so many gay people in the Republican Party, why is the Republican Party so anti-gay? Why is the administration so anti-gay?
Because there are many people that do not believe in the gay agenda.
Jeff, what does the gay agenda consist of?
They don't believe that homosexuality is normal, that it's an aberration. Now, we're sticking to what we believe in, but we are tolerating, and like you said, we try to tolerate and be as fair as we can. But you're the one that is using that as a prop to try to get the people that are the crazy right to not vote and actually make us lose a good part of the election.
All right, so you're telling me, you're calling to say that you support the president and the increase of troops to Iraq because
yes.
It's a new focus. When I ask you what the focus is, what's the direction, what is new about it, you don't have an answer for me. You just tell me it's a new focus with more troops coming.
Increasing, and they're going to work harder to try to blast out the people that are causing the trouble.
They're going to work harder, but 20,000 isn't going to do it. You need at least 100,000.
But
General Petraeus has written the manual on it, and that's what he has said.
But see,
Jeff, know that 20,000 is going
to
do it.
And that's it. I mean, you don't have an agenda, any kind of plan that will help us Americans.
Yes. Here's how we support the troops. Here's how we're going to do it, Jeff. We're going to bring them home, and I thank you for the call. 349-1320. What do you think about what Jeff had to say? He said, hey, he supports the president now more than ever, that there is a new focus. What does the focus consist of, Jeff? It consists of sending more troops to Iraq. And what are they going to do when they get there? They're going to blast out the bad guys. That's what he said. It's a new focus. It's a new direction. And he says that it is the Democrats who are using homosexuality to diss the Republicans, and it isn't the Republicans who are dissing members of the gay community, using them as pinatas in order to satisfy the red meat, to satisfy the religious wrong that constitutes a lot of their base. What are your thoughts about that? 349-1320. Is Jeff right? Did he have it right and the rest of us have it wrong? I'd like to hear from you. 349-1320, 866, 626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic on AM 1320 KCTC with Dan Mitchinson.
Thank you, Enid. We're keeping things moving this afternoon. Both 80 and 5 looking pretty good. Paramedics still responding in South Sacramento. That's to an earlier collision southbound 99 on the Laguna Boulevard off-ramp. And it looks like in South Sac, a car blocking a lane northbound 99. That's just south of Elise Avenue. Taking a look at your updated forecast. Cool tonight with some patchy fog possible early tomorrow morning, going for a low near 34. And then tomorrow, a few high clouds. Nice day, actually, right around 60. In downtown Sacramento. I'm Dan Mitchinson. More Enid Live and your calls coming up next on AM 1320 KCTC.
New rule, stop whining about gas prices. It's good that it costs a lot, and not just because the sales tax will help pay for our twice-a-year governor elections. It's also good if it makes you think of walking the 3 blocks from your house to Del Taco instead of taking the Land Cruiser. Gasoline costs a lot because we have to find it, bribe, or kill the people who live on top of it. It extract it, refine it, ship it, and pump it. You'll pay $2 a gallon, and you'll like it because you know what the alternative is, riding on the bus with poor people. New rule, call things what they are. If your morning coffee contains crushed ice, whipped cream, and caramel, it's a milkshake.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320. But she's never wrong.
Yeah.
Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Nothing pumps me up more than when fans tell me I love the game.
Number 23,
this is Kevin Martin from the Sacramento Kings. Metro PCS loves the Kings, and I'm a fan of Metro PCS. For just $45 a month, I can talk and text all I want, and there's no contract. If you live, work, and play in Northern California, get permission to speak freely with Metro PCS. Tell them Kevin sent you.
Metro PCS.
Hello.
Permission to speak freely. Long distance coverage in the continental U.S. Taxes and fees not included. Certain restrictions apply. See store for details.
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cash Fever Jackpot. Jackpot start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cash Fever Jackpot hits, a Cash Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cash Fever Jackpot total and your Cash Club points online now at CashCreek.com. So join Cash Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
The Morning Retort with Scott and Cynthia.
To understand it.
Miss Romney.
What drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Done. The campaign is dead. See how easy it was?
It was that easy. See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You think you get all the answers to all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of California, outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world. This is not the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
Mitt Romney gets the nomination. The tunnels win. Think about it. Taurus, Terra, Earth. Tunnels.
Do the math, Scott! It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Metro PCS presents more scenes from other wireless stores.
How's 1,000 free minutes sound?
Wow, are they anytime minutes?
Well, they're anytime minutes.
That's what I said.
You said anytime minutes.
So did you.
I said anytime minutes.
I just thought you said anytime with like a little accent.
Well, that's what I wanted you to think.
Okay, so what are any time minutes?
Well, they're like any time minutes, only the window of time where you can actually use them is very small. It's any, if you will.
How small?
Sundays from 4:11 a.m. to 4:12 a.m.
Wow, that's any weenie.
I love rhymes.
Stop counting minutes. Switch to Metro PCS and pay by the month, not by the minute. For $40 a month, you get all the local and long-distance calls you can make anytime. And there's no contract. Call 888-8-METRO-8 for a store near you or buy online at metropcs.com. Metro PCS.
Hello.
Permission to speak freely. Long distance in the continental U.S. Taxes and fees not included.
Noon caffeine break. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. A liberal dose of the truth applied daily.
On the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. Well, we do really care. That's why we're talking about the fallout of the speech last night. If you were just tuning in, you missed Jeff, who says he supports the president now more than ever, that we have a new way forward. And I said, well, what does that consist of? And he didn't. He said, more troops. And I said, but to do what? And what will be different? They'll take out the bad guys. So more troops are going to take out the bad guys. And it is the Democrats who are using the gay issues to undermine Republicans, not the other way around. Would you like to comment? We have one line open. 349-1320-866-626-1320. Lee in Antelope. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Lee.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing well.
Well, you know, this guy is coming off saying it's the Democrats this, Democrats that, but it wasn't the Democrats that made that put Mark Foley to, you know, mess around with a bunch of underage pages or the largest evangelical group. That guy just got removed from that because he...
Oops, I guess we lost him. Oh, sorry about that. I disconnected. I think the call just fell off. Justin and Zach, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Justin.
Hey, Enid, how are you doing?
Doing well.
Yeah, I just want to point out that, you know, Jeff kept saying it was a new strategy, but, you know, we've sent more troops there four or five times now, and I think at least one of those times we sent almost 20,000 in one go.
You know what Chuck Hagel said? He said we don't have a strategy.
Yeah. And it's you know, they say that the formula you use is you generally want to have 40 troops for every 1,000 citizens. And I believe if we were to actually have enough troops, it'd be something like 900,000 troops we would actually need to make the occupation work the way they want it to.
Yes, and that's according to the general who's in charge of it, Petraeus. He wrote the manual about this. So, you know, either 20,000 is not going to be enough except to put these people at very grave risk. And you need 100,000, and you don't have 100,000, essentially. And really, what this administration is doing, I think, is running out the clock, and whoever comes in next does the mop-up, whether it's Hillary or whether it's Barack or whether it's Edwards or whoever it is.
And I can't believe that he would fall for all those bold-faced lies that Bush was telling last night about education and all the domestic issues. He was just lying. I mean, he was lying about No Child Left Behind that they haven't even been funding.
Right.
And, you know, the test scores, he keeps saying they're better than they were, but they are actually much worse than they were under Clinton. And, you know, the minority groups are only marginally better. You know, I think it's like a fraction of a percentage or something. And, you know, boasting about that. It's just, you know, it was all lies.
Well, you know, here's what the administration does. If you listen to look at the transcript of the Wolf Blitzer interview with Dick Cheney, whenever Blitzer nails him on something that's actually true, Cheney will say, "That's not true, Wolf. You know that's not true." When in fact it is true. So what? How do you defend yourself against "that's not true" from the vice president? When he's lying, he's the one who for years kept talking about weapons of mass destruction, even after Bush disavowed any connection between what?
To make them irrelevant, and I think everybody should just tune out the president and the vice president and just stop listening to them, stop giving them attention, because that's, you know, what they need to keep doing what they're doing, is they need attention to support them. But, you know, if the Congress just considers them to be irrelevant and starts moving along, you know, then maybe we can actually get something done.
Well, that would be nice. And the Democrats really are asking for an intelligence estimate, and they have been asking for it for 6 months, but now they have some muscle. So, and Ted Kennedy is saying that it is a scandal that the administration sending 20,000 more troops to Iraq without getting this intelligence estimate about what's going on there. So that's pretty amazing by itself. Justin, thanks very much. I think you made excellent points. 349-1320. We have a line open, 866-626-1320. Greg in SAC. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Greg.
Hi, Ian. How are you doing?
Doing well, thanks.
All right, I'm going to call you and talk to you about, like, did anyone pick up on Bush's health care initiative that he was going to push?
Yeah, we talked about it beforehand. We talked about it a couple of days before the speech. Paul Krugman talking about these tax cuts, and it's absolutely an absurd idea. But go ahead, what's your point?
Well, in one way, it would be a tax increase on the low and middle class that does have employer-based insurance, right?
Yeah, that's what's being reported.
And I'm just surprised I haven't heard more people pick up on this, you know, this guy that likes to cut tax cuts for the rich constantly, right? And then they make it harder for bankruptcy, which is one of the, you know, health care costs are one of the leading reasons why people do go to bankruptcy. And I just think it's the hypocrisy of it is outrageous.
No, you're calling this administration masters of hypocrisy?
Well, I do not have my...
Really? Are you saying that? Do you really believe that?
No, I think it's the gay folks that make us do this.
Well, listen, here's the story. When the tax cuts for the rich, a lot of what they have put into place means that the middle class and the working poor are going to have to bear bear the results of what they have put into place. And I think in this issue of healthcare, and his proposal is not going to go anywhere. It is absolutely going nowhere. It's just a lot of rhetoric. And it is tendered by somebody who has apparently never been uninsured because it's so preposterous that if you, a poor person who doesn't even have the money for the premiums, and by the way, was there any talk about capping the premiums or what you would get for those premiums, forcing the insurers not to cherry pick only, you know, the healthy people? No, there was no talk about that. You get this tax credit, which is completely preposterous. So, Greg, good point, and I thank you for making it. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Willie in Sassoon. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hey, how's it going?
Doing well, Willie.
Yeah, I'm a Republican. I'm a second-time caller.
Okay.
I heard you ask, you know, for Republicans to call.
Yes.
And, you know, the two things that the president touched on that helped me support him more was the topic of pork belly and then the civilian force. You know,
Wait. Now, the topic of what? Pork belly? He wasn't talking about...
When he was talking about the hidden agendas that...
Are you talking about the earmarks?
Yeah.
Okay, but, you know, the Republicans are the ones who have really drunk out of that trough big time to the point where some people are in the pokey over it.
Well, you know, and I'm not saying that's right. I'm just saying that is something that makes me feel more confidence in the government that's going to be addressed.
Okay,
so... We've got this highway to nowhere in Alaska, and I don't even know if that's being brought forward by a Democrat or a Republican.
All right, so talk to me about why, after listening to the speech, you were in favor of sending 20,500 more troops to Iraq.
Okay, yeah, and that's another thing I'm listening to you guys talk about. You know, I got a couple comments that, you know, I don't know how much time you're going to hold me, but... you know, you guys talk about this manual that this general's writing. And, mm-hmm. you know, that's like, that. I think that's irrelevant because, you know, I was in the military. I was in the Marine Corps for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And when the 15th MU invaded, well, when we went to Afghanistan, the 15th MU was spread out over Pakistan and Syria. And, like, they rewrote the directory for the MU.
Yeah, but this is, you were in a very spread out, you weren't in an urban landscape. This is an urban setting, and so when they're doing urban, when you're in an urban setting, there are certain ratios, apparently, this very General Petraeus thinks should occur, and by that measure, you ought to have about 100,000 people coming in, not 20.
Yeah, and the thing about the...
All right, but Willie, you're not answering the question. The question is, what makes you want to support the president on this escalation of troops?
You know, I'm not even entirely sure that I support that because, okay, I vote Republican. I'm very conservative, but I'm also liberal in some things. And my thing is I supported the war, but the thing I don't support is going into war without an exit strategy. And I'm not talking a cut and run thing, and I know that's a cliche, but I'm just saying.
So does this administration have an exit strategy?
No, they clearly don't.
All right, so why then are you supporting the 20,000? What if you were one of those 20,000 people who there's no way you defend against an IED? There's no way you can defend against a suicide bomber?
You know,
what if you were one of those 20,000 people that he's just sending in to run out the clock until the next administration comes in? Then what?
You know, and that's where I say I support the civilian force that he proposed.
Well, wait a minute. Why are you still supporting him when he doesn't even have a plan? I don't get that. You got to tell me why.
Because here in America, you see it where in neighborhoods where you got Russian mafia, Yakuza, Japanese mafia. In Mexico, you see it with the cartels.
Just answer me the question and don't talk to me about Japanese mafia. Why are you supporting the president when you just admitted that he has no plan for Iraq? Why are you supporting him on the troop increase?
Enid, you know that the vacuum that's going to be created by lobbying off the Saddam leadership, it's just going to be unreal when all the terrorists flee there to take power and to become...
They're already there, and it's already a civil war. What are you talking about? 20,000 people aren't going to handle it. Willie, give me some logic here. I am hungry for some logic from you.
Well, you know, maybe I'm just, you know, I'm not your profile listener, but my point is...
No, you are. We have a big, strong, conservative, Republican listenership to this radio station.
When every point, like, you want me to say that I don't support it. And, you know, the thing is...
No, I'm waiting to get a cogent response as to why you do support him.
You know, I do support because I support the military, and I support, you know... Okay, the war in Iraq was a bad deal. Okay, I'm not going to deny that. But why I support it is because we're there... We're about 80, 70%. We've got 80% of the country under control. This 30 miles in Baghdad is where 80% of the deaths happen. And, you know, the thing I can support is now that we're going in there and we're telling him that Mictata Asander is on the table, so if he doesn't play, he's out of there. Malachi is in check. He knows that. See, and a lot of things that happen in these foreign countries with the SOFA agreement.
So you're telling me this: the war is a bad deal. It has not been successful. But as long as we're there, we got to throw good money after bad. That really is what you're telling me, Willie.
Well, I'm not. It's, you know, irrelevant of the financial impact. And I know that's a big
issue. I'm not talking about the real money. I'm talking about lives. It's sort of a figure of speech.
Okay.
So we're making, it's a bad deal. It's not going well. We're going to throw more lives, more money, more resources, more blood into it because it's a bad deal and we can, you're saying we can't go. That really is your reasoning here. I thank you. For, Philly, we're going to have to leave it there, but I do thank you for the call. 349-1320. How would you respond to somebody like Willie? How would you make a case? Is it even possible to make a case to somebody like Willie? Hagel says we don't have a strategy. He's a Republican. He has fought in Vietnam. I would think he would know. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather on AM 1320, KCTC with Dan Mitchinson.
Well, good afternoon, and at 454, may find it slow going around southbound 99, just south of Broadway right now. Looky-loos passing a car that's just off to the side, and in North Sacramento, a collision blocking one lane at Hackberry Lane at Madison Avenue. Your updated forecast, 34 tonight, warming up to a near 60 on Thursday. A little bit cooler, though, Friday and Saturday, with a few more clouds, highs in the mid to upper 50s. Right now, 61 degrees downtown. I'm Dan Mitchinson, more Enid Live, and your call. Coming up next on AM 1320 KCTC.
While we're slinging by, we're slinging the truth.
Perhaps you should keep that in mind before making sensationalist claims.
Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Power for...
New rule number one, no more cell phones in movie theaters. Please, you're not a cardiologist on call. You're a putz whose babysitter wants to know where the ketchup is. And then you tell her in the middle of the movie. Sometimes it's so loud in the theater I can barely hear what the black people are yelling at the screen. There is a simple solution. Put your cell phone on vibrate and then up your... All right, new rule. No more celebrating gastric bypass. Carney Wilson, Al Roker, and now Star Jones are all being heralded by the media for stapling their stomachs shut. They shouldn't be. They're not making a brave choice to change. They're giving money to doctors to reroute their ability to turn food into crap.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
I'm the change bandit. Now give me all your change.
No, silly. Not like that.
Not like that?
No, just tell them how they can help by collecting the spare change from their friends, family, classmates, and co-workers. And donate it to the UC Davis Children's Hospital. All from our good friends at the Sacramento Credit Union.
They can? And all they have to do is register online at sacradiothon.com or ask their Sacramento Credit Union representative for more info? Well, why didn't you say so?
I just did, silly.
Think about this. Just a few years ago, you'd never have thought about buying a book, booking a hotel, or even buying an airline ticket online. Today, going online is the first place smart consumers look. LegalZoom.com has made it easy for smart, savvy consumers to be able to take care of common legal documents online. It's as simple as buying a book or securing your travel plans. You can form an LLC, last will and testament, or even register a trademark in minutes. LegalZoom.com saves most consumers up to 80% of the cost of going to an attorney. Yes, up to 80%. LegalZoom.com allows you to create common legal documents online at your own time and in the privacy of your home or office. Just answer some simple questions online, and LegalZoom.com takes care of the rest. For a limited time only, go to LegalZoom.com, and you'll receive a special discount by typing Talk Radio, all one word, in the box at checkout. Over a quarter of a million people and thousands more each day put their trust and confidence in LegalZoom.com. That's LegalZoom.com.
What is a miracle? A miracle described in the Webster's Dictionary is an extraordinary event manifesting itself in human affairs. You know, each and every day, miracles happen at the UC Davis Children's Hospital. And now, with your help, you can be a part of the miracle process as well. From now through February 24th, when you purchase a 9-piece miracle meal from KFC, $1 goes directly to the UC Davis Children's Hospital. Did you know that the UC Davis Children's Hospital is the region's only pediatric intensive care unit caring for over 60,000 children each and every year? That is why this year the KFC family is proud to have partnered up with the UC Davis Children's Hospital, part of the Children's Miracle Network, to help make sure miracles continue to happen. And now with the help of KFC's Miracle Meal, you can be a part of one too. So do your part and go to a participating KFC for a great meal today and help continue to make miracles happen with the KFC Miracle Meal. For more information on how you can continue to make miracles happen, log on to www.kfcmiraclemeals.com.
Local and left, it's Enid Goldstein on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
On the Wednesday edition of Enid Live, we don't have a lot of time left in this hour, so let me go quickly to the phones. And Frank and Zach, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Frank.
Hello, Enid. I got a comment towards Willie's remarks. First of all, you know, being ignorant about this war, first of all, we went in there.
KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel. Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. With the arrest of a 72-year-old man in Roxy, Mississippi, the FBI believes it solved another crime from the civil rights era. James Seal is charged in connection with the deaths of Charles Moore and Henry D., 19-year-old black youths who were beaten and dumped still alive in the Mississippi River. That was 43 years ago.
There was never a belief, even among the media who investigate these kind of cases, there was never a belief that this was actually, that it would ever happen.
Donna Ladd, editor-in-chief of the Jackson Free Press, was surprised to learn that Seal was still alive. His family had been telling reporters he died. Reputedly, Seal was a member of the Ku Klux Klan who had always been a suspect in the case, but the FBI, preoccupied with other racial murders, turned this one over to local authorities, and the case was promptly dropped. Mark Potok of the Southern Poverty Law Center is thrilled with this turn of events.
It sends the message to the small number of people who are still interested in this kind of racial violence that, you know, if you engage in this kind of conduct, even if it's four decades later, you will go to prison one day or you will be prosecuted.
The U.S. commander in Afghanistan has asked for and gotten more troops to cope with a resurgence of Al-Qaeda and Taliban fighters.
3,200 troops of the Army's 10th Mountain Division are having their tours extended by 4 months. The military buildup in Iraq got a thumbs down on Capitol Hill today.
In a direct slap at President Bush, the Senate Foreign Relations Committee voted for a non-binding resolution opposing sending more troops to Iraq, saying it's not in the nation's interests. Democratic Chairman Joe Biden.
Is the wrong way to go, and in fact, I believe we'll have the opposite, emphasize the opposite effect that the president intends.
All but one Republican voted against the resolution, but they didn't exactly give the president a stirring defense. Alaska's Lisa Murkowski.
I happen to disagree with the president on the surge.
The Iraq resolution will go to the full Senate next week. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
John Kerry thought about it, but with so many others already in the race, he announced today he will not take a second shot at the White House.
I intend to devote all my efforts and energies over the coming 2 years, not to another race for the presidency for myself, but to doing whatever I can to ensure that the next president can take the oath with a reasonable prospect of success for him or her, for the United States.
Kerry will be running for re-election to his Massachusetts Senate seat in 2008. If Crisco can do it, maybe anyone can. A kitchen staple for 95 years, Crisco has been reformulated to virtually eliminate trans fats. The maker says the new formula performs just the same in cooking with no increase in saturated fat. We get a 2-day reprieve from the tax man this year because April 15th is a Sunday and the 16th is a legal holiday in Washington. The IRS says we have until midnight on the 17th to file our returns. The Dow up 87 points, a new record close. This is CBS News.
Did you know your Ford, Lincoln, or Mercury may be trying to tell you something? Just look at your oil change sticker or your odometer. They tell an important message, when to change your oil. And when it is time, be sure to visit your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealer. Right now, the Works Fuel Saver Package is just $36.95 or less. That's a Motocraft synthetic blend oil change, tire rotation, fluid top off, multi-point inspection, and more. Just $36.95. And no appointment is necessary. Now that's convenient. Genuine Ford parts, expert service, low prices. We've got everything you need.
You need a hand, I can assure you this, I can help.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury parts and service. We're better. We're proving it. And we want you to be the judge. Hurry into your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealer today. Up to 5 quarts oil, taxes, and diesel vehicles extra. Disposal fee may apply. See participating dealership for service hours and details through 31807.
CBS News correspondent John Harchi reports there's some concern about the new generation of birth control pills.
A panel of gynecologists, obstetricians, and others told the FDA that while serious side effects like blood clots are rarely seen with contraceptives, they're tough to predict. The panel says drug makers should collect more data after their pills go on the market. But they also recognize drug makers may not want to spend the money for expensive follow-up studies once drugs are approved. An area of concern? Most studies do not include overweight women or smokers, making safety for them unclear.
The experts also worry that the new lower-dose pills are less effective than the first oral contraceptives introduced in the 1960s. While the new pills can reduce the risk of side effects, their failure rate is higher. More women taking the pills get pregnant. Another queasy cruise ship. Officials say more than 300 people aboard the Queen Elizabeth II have come down with stomach flu during its round-the-world voyage. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
More buzz than an afternoon caffeine break. It's Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. A liberal dose of the truth applied daily.
Minutes after 5 o'clock. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours from 3 to 7 right here on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. And you can join the conversation. We invite you to. It's a better conversation. It's a richer conversation. It's a more challenging conversation when more of you participate. And you don't have to agree with me. In fact, it's a better conversation when you don't. If you're in the 916 area code, the number is 349-1320. And if you're not, 866-626-1320. 349-1320 or 866-626-1320. It doesn't matter. You know, we might cuff each other around. You might be a Republican. You might be a conservative. You might be a member of the religious wrong or the religious right, as you would probably put it. But it doesn't matter. These are your airwaves, and this is your program as much as anybody else's. And this is a place where we really digest a lot of things and where we it's a spirited discussion and it's highest octave, a vibrant discussion. If you're just joining us, we're talking about the fallout from the State of the Union address. It surprised everybody by having higher ratings than American Idol last night, if you can believe that. We're talking about a Wolf Blitzer interview of Dick Cheney, in which, of course, he thinks everything that he did is right. And one of the last questions Wolf Blitzer asks him is about his daughter's pregnancy, and that would be Mary Cheney, the gay daughter, and how he feels about it. And then Cheney bristles, and he says that's out of line, so you may want to comment about that. We're talking about the president, whether or not he has an exit strategy. Chuck Hagel, Republican, guy who fought in Vietnam, a guy with impeccable credentials. He said this administration has no strategy and that people better stand up and say so. We're talking about John Kerry. He's not going to run for office. For president, and I didn't think he would. If he were to give up his Senate seat, there are a lot of people standing in line because there hasn't been a Senate seat available open in the state of Massachusetts for a long time. Among them, Barney Frank, who is, of course, a congressman. He would be a good senator. I think Barney Frank, who is gay, openly gay, and very, very smart, he would be great. But John Kerry's not going to risk it, and with good reason. I don't think he can win. 349-1320. I want to add more to the conversation, but let's go first to the phones and to Steve in Sacramento. Steve, thanks for being so patient. Hi, Steve.
Thank you, Enid.
You're welcome.
I want to talk about John Kerry.
Yeah.
And I don't think a U.S. senator can become president anymore.
Why?
When was the last time one was elected?
Well, I don't know. I can't think.
I think it's been over 50 years or more. I think he has a long voting record.
Wait. When was Lyndon Johnson elected? When was Gerald Ford?
He was
Ford?
A congressman, wasn't he?
Lyndon Johnson. Yeah, maybe he was.
And I think Gerald Ford was a congressman. I can't remember the last time a senator was elected. I think
JFK.
Long history in their voting record.
With JFK, so it's 40 some years.
No, he was a congressman too.
JFK was a congressman?
I do believe.
You know, I'm getting it all confused.
I could be
when's
wrong.
When's the last senator that you can remember being
I
elected?
Number one.
You can't remember any senator being elected?
No, but I'm only 54. You need.
Well, you got a few more. We'll start digging deep. Now, wait a minute. I'm really getting confused here. I guess I'm getting very confused. Well, somebody can comment on this.
Well, you know, because.
But why do you think a senator cannot get elected? What is the
I think it's very difficult because of their history in the Senate and their voting records, appropriations, all kinds of stuff. There's just too much baggage.
I think JFK was a senator.
He might have been.
He was. My recollection is he was a senator, and he was really buddies with George Smathers, who was also a senator. Well, I wasn't even born, but I think they were all senators.
I don't know.
Senator George Smathers and Senator Kennedy.
Okay.
I think, I don't know, for some reason. And Lyndon Johnson, golly, I think I think you might be right about that. Representative.
Yeah,
for some reason, I can't.
Governors are the ticket, it seems like.
Why?
Because they just kind of sit back and sign, and I don't think they do that much anyway, especially with, living in California.
Well, one of the weakest governorships in the country is in Texas.
Absolutely, with the part-time legislature.
Yes, and
that's true.
And so your current president spent much of his time playing video games, apparently, according to a couple of biographies of him. All right, talk to me about Kerry. Assuming he could have, are you telling me then that Hillary Clinton can't win because she's a senator and Barack Obama can't win either?
I don't think Hillary can win, but
you're basing it on being a senator.
I don't think Hillary can win because I don't think, for whatever reason in America, there's a consensus of, we're just not ready to have a woman president, and I don't agree with that. But because we've had queens and people run all kinds.
Yes, and some of those queens have been male. But that's another story. Thank you, Steve. We'll leave it there. 349-1320, 866-6. Are we ready to have a mayor as a president? Well, on NBC this morning, Rudy Giuliani had his foreign policy credentials questioned as he defended the president's escalation plan with his own additional remarks about measuring the six. Now, remember, Giuliani supports the troop increase. He was asked point blank, what does a mayor know about what's going on in Iraq and foreign policy? The remark was prompted by Giuliani's comparison of securing Baghdad with his programs to decrease crime in New York City. Giuliani, who is allegedly a presidential hopeful, offered up a variety of evidence of who he has spoken with and his travels as proof that he could speak on foreign policy. He also referred to Anbar, the violent Sunni province in Iraq, as Anwar. So, what does a mayor know about foreign policy? Not much, apparently. But you know he knows about marriage. This mayor knows about how to be married a lot of times. Our lines are full, but they will open up. And I want to add this to the conversation. You remember Robert Novak, the guy whose column first revealed the identity publicly of Valerie Plame. He outed her. Well, and he has a cousin living in Sacramento who is a very nice woman, but I'm not a big fan of Robert Novak's. However, in his latest report, here's what he says about Nancy Pelosi, interestingly enough. About her first 100 hours in power, he said, were, quote, listen to this, a success beyond all anticipation. And what he says about the Bush administration, he says that it is irrelevant and out of touch. Now, he himself is a conservative. He says the 100 hours program of Nancy Pelosi has been, as I said, a success beyond all anticipation. The passage of poll-approved measures came with a unanimous Democratic vote and heavy, in some cases, majority Republican support. So he says that Pelosi's performance shows the error and futility of Republican expectations that Pelosi, as a speaker, would fall on her face. Well, why do they think a woman is going to fall on her face? 349-1320-866-626-1320. Mike, in Orangeville. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Enid. I am surprised, I'm stunned that a listener would not realize that John F. Kennedy was a senator of Massachusetts when he ran.
And LBJ was a senator from Texas, too, wasn't he?
LBJ was in the Senate. He ran the thing, not officially, but he was the prime mover. He pushed civil rights legislation even when he was in the Senate in Texas.
Wait. LBJ was a...
He was a starter of the congressman. It was stolen 448.
I cannot hear you. You are muddled.
Oh, LBJ started out as a congressman with 48 stolen votes, by a margin of 48 votes that were in a rigged election. And from there, he had a meteoric rise. He ran Congress for a while.
Yes, he did.
His mentor was Sam Rayburn. And Sam Rayburn's advice to LBJ when he first got to the Hill was, I can only say one thing to you, Lyndon, in public life. Never get caught in bed with a dead woman or a live boy.
I thought they said that about the New Orleans guy, Long. The only way that he would be defeated, Huey Long said, would be with a dead girl or a live boy. Is that the story?
That's the story.
I heard it about Huey Long.
LBJ was a staunch admirer and supporter of FDR, especially the rural electrification program. And he did a lot of things that a lot of people don't give a
All right, so why can a senator not be elected president? I don't think that's preposterous, do you think?
That's nonsense. That's of course a senator can be. Look who we elect in California, actors. So of course a senator can be elected.
Well, you know, they are actors, here's Marlon Brando once said something very interesting. He said everybody's acting. They're acting all the time. It happens that these are people who are doing it professionally, but don't you think people are acting on the job? Don't you think people are acting, doing whatever they do, and particularly if they're running for office, don't you think they're putting on an act? Look at Mark Foley. He pretended to be a ladies' man. Wasn't that an act?
Well, Shakespeare preceded Marlon Brando. All the world's a stage.
All the world is. I thank you very much for the call. 349-1320-866-626-1320. Kelly in Sac. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, Enid. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
I just wanted to comment because I haven't heard it. I haven't heard you touch on it, but in Bush's speech last night, he started talking about how he's going to cut the deficit.
Okay.
And how fantastic he was for that. And if I remember right, he created the deficit. weren't we doing just fine? We had a surplus when we had Clinton.
We had a surplus. We had a surplus going into his presidency.
Excuse me?
Our president, Dickey, walked into his presidency with a surplus created by the Clinton administration. He walked in with, I think, a surplus of historic proportions.
And we
have deficits of historic proportions. So if he gets them down a little bit, that's nice. But he created them.
Yeah. And he was acting like, oh, look at me, how great I am. I'm going to cut the deficit.
That's right.
And then he said, my five-year plan for doing that. So actually, what he was saying, because he's only got two more years left, is he's going to leave a deficit for the next party or for the next president.
Well, yes, go ahead. So that's your point. The point is that he's leaving a deficit. I was just trying to find
his... My point was that...
I'm trying to find his speech here, and I'll find that exact reference. But go ahead.
My point is just that he acted like he was all wonderful for cutting the deficit when he created it in the first place.
Well, good point.
He should be standing up there apologizing. I'm sorry I created this deficit.
I like the idea that was floated yesterday, which when he walked in, instead of everybody who couldn't wait to get a piece of him and shake his hand and tell him what a great guy he was from both sides of the aisle, everybody should have just stood there with their back to him. I like that a lot. That would have been so somber. That would have been so powerful. Kelly, thanks for bringing this up. I appreciate it. I'll find that reference. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Earl and Sack, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Earl.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thank you. My concern is you've been discussing, or I've been listening to you discuss whether or not there's going to be a plan for Dickey and his plan.
There is no plan.
There is no plan. And my question now is that Dickey has his finger on the button, the red button. And if he depresses that button, we don't have to worry about a plan.
Well, are you saying that you think Iraq is just a rest stop on the way to Iran?
I think I don't know who the next victim will be to the conservative platform in regards to planning the future. But if Dickey has two more years to decide which button he wants to press, he has a choice that I don't know how we can control it, and I think.
Well, that's the question. I mean, this is an administration that has no regard for any opinions but its own. It has no support either for its opinions. It is not supported. This troop increase is not supported by Congress. It's not supported by the generals. It's not supported by the military. It is not supported, overwhelmingly not supported by the American public. Nobody supports it but Dick and Dickey in the White House. And it doesn't matter that there's a vote of no confidence. They're still going to go forward with it. They don't really care. And it looks like there isn't sufficient pushback from the Congress, and maybe constitutionally there's nothing much they can do. I don't know. But they're not willing to unfund or defund the troop surge. And I don't know what else is available to them. They have this is a non-binding resolution that has been passed. It's a slap in the face. It is a vote of no confidence. But the question is, what can they do and what will they do? What is there the political will to do, and constitutionally, what are they able to do? Those are the two questions. Earl, I thank you very much. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Gene in El Dorado Hills. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, I looked at State of the Union as long as I could stand it. And I'm wondering, somebody ought to tell Bush the State of the Union, because the idiot doesn't give a damn. He gets those fellas up there, those officers that have been emblazoned with medals, but he doesn't show you any of those fellas that have two legs gone and an arm, and they have to go to Ransdorf, Germany to have their genitalia operated on. They'll never be able to be with a woman again, and they're 18 and 19 years old. Nobody's bringing any of that up. And here the man is going to send in more troops. You cannot control those people. For 5,000 years, those people have been taken over by ruler after ruler, because they fight among themselves. And the idea of going in there and making three separate sovereigns is the most asinine thing. We are trying to control a country that has nothing at all in common with us. We're trying to give them democracy, a word they don't even comprehend or care about. All we should do is get those big airplanes that can carry 2,000 troops at a time, and bring them in about 5 and 6 a day, and haul those poor kids out before there are more fodder for these idiots. You know, the generals aren't there, and the captains, they're not on the line. They're sitting back in the administration buildings. You know, those young boys don't even have clean water. Do you know that they go to bed at night, they never know what's going to happen the next minute? And this is disgusting that the
Well, we have companies like Halliburton selling the troops water that is contaminated. You're right, Gene.
Well,
you have.
Has got 130,000 troops and 130,000 contractors over there. When is the American people going to wake up and realize this is Bush's war?
He
wants to make money for his friends.
Gene, I couldn't have said it more eloquently, and I thank you for doing it. 349-1320. What do you think about what Gene had to say? 349-1320. We have a line or two open. 866-620-6320. I'm Enid Goldstein. You are listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather on AM 1320 KCTC. Here's Dan Mitchinson.
And at 522 South Sacramento, westbound US 50, that's just east of southbound 51, we have an incident involving a pedestrian. Also still working on this non-injury accident. That's in North Sacramento, Greenback Lane at Hazel Avenue. So we'll keep an eye on that and have another update in just a few minutes. Your updated forecast, 34 tonight in Sacramento. High clouds tomorrow with sunshine. Looks like a high right around 60 degrees or so. We'll hit 60 in Orangeville and 59. Elk Grove. Right now we're at 59 degrees in downtown Sacramento. I'm Dan Mitchinson. More Enid Live and more of your calls coming up next on AM 1320 KCTC.
It's Enid Live doing full frontal talk radio. AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
I can't wait to hear the rest of the show.
John, everything checks out?
New rule. Prince Harry is going to hurt someone. Look at this kid. He's a thundering ball of rage. His mom's dead. His father dates rotted tree bark. His brother gets to be king, and he's destined to spend the rest of his life being photographed doing nothing. Arrest him before he kills a woman. New rule. Country music stars can't be authors. Charlie Daniels' new book, Ain't No Rag, Freedom, Family, and the Flag. It's a collection of musings by noted white trash icon Charlie Daniels on subjects ranging from American flags to American flag bumper stickers to what to do to a hippie if you catch him trying to burn your flag. Before this book, I was ambivalent on the issue of flag burning. Now I find myself reconsidering the question of book burning.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320. Live and local, it's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
On the Wednesday edition of Enid Live, yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320 KCTC. Let me just clarify a couple of things about Lyndon Johnson. And this is why it was so confusing for me, because I thought of him both as a congressman and as a senator. I had to think about it. He was both. Before the war, he was elected to Congress from Texas. And then when he came back from the war in about 1948, he was elected to the Senate. So we're clarifying that. And one of our very sharp-eared, acute observers, of which we have many listening to Enid Live and this radio station, here is what the president said about the deficit. He said, we set a goal of cutting the deficit in half by 2009 and met that goal 3 years ahead of schedule. Now let us take the next step. In the coming weeks, I will submit a budget that eliminates the federal deficit within the next 5 years. So she's right about that. In the next 5 years, so not on his watch. They want to make the same commitment, and so our listener was exactly right about that. You might want to weigh in on it. We have one line open, 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Emily in Sac, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Emily.
Hi, Enid, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well, thank you.
My comment is that I agree with Gene, who called you a few minutes ago.
Right.
And that, you know, I mean, obviously, we're probably in the same age group, and maybe, what is it? Is it going to take a lot of us older people to tell the younger people what's going on?
That's the benefit of wisdom.
Yeah, I guess so. Huh?
I don't know. You know, unless you get Botoxed up and have a lot of cosmetic surgery, maybe age is not so valued. But the Japanese consider their old people their national treasures. So maybe we have people who are like Gene, who say it eloquently, not afraid to express themselves and do it well.
Absolutely. And we know the value of life. We value young life. And these idiots up there at the house have no value for young life, especially if it's not, if it's poor.
If it's somebody else's children. Emily, I thank you for the call. 349-1320. Dave in Elk Grove. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Dave.
You go, girl. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Good. You know something? I didn't like the last hour. I'm from the Bay Area. You know me. Okay? I've been with my husband for 16 years.
Uh-huh.
I mean, how many people in the straight world can say that? Not many. So, you know, like the old saying, you know, I can't believe what they're saying about, you know, about gay people and all that kind of stuff. They have a problem with it. Am I correct on this?
The Republicans.
The Republicans? Oh, I know that. The religious rights don't like gay people.
No.
That's
awesome. And that's why John McCain is never going to get the endorsement of James Dobson from Focus on the Family, because he doesn't have a problem with gay marriage.
Absolutely. You know, please. You know something? You know, and that's one thing about, like I'm saying, you know, and these bigots, you know, the religious rights, you know, they don't like those other people. You know, like you get Dobson, you get, you know, like the Swaggerts. You know, like
they're happy to be very friendly with people who are gay. They're happy to employ them, but they're happy to stab them in the back by sponsoring legislation that is very gay unfriendly.
Exactly. And a lot of times, basically, on top of that, is that a lot of people, you know, I tell people, these people say that they have a lot of, they don't have a problem with people that are gay. And, you know, and really, in fact, they do, but they just don't want to tell you to your face. And they say they got friends that are gay and said, I don't believe that. I always tell people, you know, these ones that are bigots, the ones that harass people that are gay, you know, we've come a long way. The gay community's come a long way in 30 years, Enid. It's come a long way in 30 years. It's more tolerant now. You would think that they'd get over it. You know what I'm saying?
No, not if they can squeeze a few votes out of it. Dave, I thank you for calling. 349-1320. Louise in Sac. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Louise.
Hi. First-time caller.
Welcome.
I listen to you all the time.
Welcome.
First of all, a great big thank you to our progressive radio stations that have helped us keep our sanity through all this insanity that the administration has put our country and our people through and is continuing to do. So I just want to let you know how thankful we are that you're there.
Thank you.
Second of all, I couldn't watch the State of the Union address because I can't stand to watch him that long. So I had to just go for the reviews. But you were talking, one person called in and talked about, a woman called and said, well, we're trying to put democracy in Iraq. And I just want to say that's not true. It's all about the oil. It has always been about the oil, and everybody has acknowledged that.
Well, this is an administration that wanted to provide health insurance for everybody in Iraq. They're not doing it in this country. And as for democracy, if it has anything to do with democracy, we're not seeing much of it in this country either. So,
no. We can't even do it here.
There you go. They're reading your mail. They're listening to your phone calls, Louise. They know that you called Enid live today.
And you know something? I don't care. But, yes, you're right about health care. We need a better health care system, like maybe a single payer. That would be good.
Mm-hmm.
Because they keep cutting the poor veterans' benefits, and nobody hears about it, and they keep cutting the veterans' benefits, and that's terrible. He said, he's on one side of his mouth, he said, we support the Jews, and the other side of the mouth, we're cutting benefits. That's terrible. And just one more comment here. I do believe senators can win. As you point out, we have had them. Hillary, I'm not so sure it's the right choice, only because she seems to speak to their audiences, and it kind of says what.
Well, they've successfully demonized her, maybe with her complicity, but she has. I want to talk about that. Louise, thank you very much for calling us for the first time. We really appreciate it. 349-1320. It opens up a line, 866-620-61320. Talk to me about why Hillary was so easy to demonize. Is it because next to Bill, who's so easy and so sexy, and, you know, I have interviewed him, and actually I did it in Sacramento, and it was an interview that made breaking news. The Associated Press picked it up, but on the phone, he's a very sexy guy, and probably off the phone, too. He's a very sexy guy. I guess we know that by now. And when they spoke side by side together at the Coretta Scott King funeral, the contrast was really apparent. She was starchy. You know, here's what it reminds me of. I kind of grew up in a situation like this where my dad was kind of easygoing, and my mom felt like she had a discipline for two people, which she now says was a mistake. So she became tougher than she might have been because she thought he was too easygoing with us. Of course, we loved that he was so easygoing. And I wonder if that isn't what the dynamic with Bill and Hillary, where he's easy and sexy and overindulgent in just about every category you can think of, and she's the one who was earning the you know, she was the earner in that family. He was making about $35,000 a year as a governor, and she was making a six-figure salary as an attorney for the Rose Law Firm, if you will recall. And she's the one who, he was very highly undisciplined. You know, he'd have these bullshit sessions into the night. But she kept the money going. She kept everything on track. And I wonder whether that just puts a lot of starch in her spine. And so she gets too starchy. And, you know, remember that line from Susan Sontag, men never forgive women for having been their mothers. And so she's got that school marmish aspect. Actually, I have seen her in settings where she's funny and she's charming and she's very warm and she really relates beautifully to people one-on-one. But when she's talking, there's some kind of a starchy quality school marmish kind of quality that takes over. And the religious right, the conservatives, hate her so that her negatives are about as high as her positives. Talk to me about why that is. It's not only that she's a woman. There's something else at play. And if you have some thoughts about it, I would like to hear it. Dan, calling from SAC. Dan, thanks for being so patient. You're live with Enid on AM 1320.
Hey, Enid. Well, I helped Hillary out yesterday, you know, so I can't help her today.
Wait. What do you mean you helped her out? What did you do?
You're asking about, you know, how should she answer for the war? And I told you, hey, meet it head on. I didn't vote for never ending war. I voted for the use of force. Now, if she wants to hire me to work in her campaign. But in the meantime, I want to talk about what happened last night.
Okay.
I have a warning and I have a solution. But first, some quick thoughts, just a quick comment on last night. What he is asking the American public and Congress to do is to basically, you know, you got to look at war and death and destruction and chaos, and you got to give her a fair chance. That's what he asked us to do last night. Now, there's something very dangerous going on with this president. You know, when you have a poll rating of 28, you know, this isn't like he said, hey, I'm going to come out and raise taxes, and he dropped 20 points in the poll. This gradually went down over time. So it wasn't anger. It's people are fed up. His numbers are never going to come up again. You might see a bump of 1 or 2 points, but for the rest of his administration, he will never see the 35 mark again. And that makes these guys dangerous because they've always done one thing throughout their reign. And when they get in trouble, they always try to seize power and solidify their power. Now, you had a caller that called in earlier and said, well, I don't know what can be done. Here's what needs to be done. Show these people in these hospitals, win the PR war, and if you got to do it through a Michael Moore documentary or George Clooney in Hollywood, just tell the true stories of what's happening. And then the other thing is you've got to rescind whatever power, constitutional power, this man has. And it'll be...
Impeach him now. Get him out right now. Get the two of them out right now.
Have they not always tried to solidify their power every time they've gotten in trouble?
Well, they're completely delusional, and they're going to do whatever they want to do. So somebody's got to stop them because they're going to trash more lives.
Yes, I agree. And every time they've ever been in trouble, they just grab power and claim power that they don't have, and nobody seems to be able to stop them. So I say rescind whatever powers he has left as far as war powers. Because I'm with that other caller. I believe to a certain degree he is trying to stall and run out the clock, but it wouldn't surprise me if he launched and escalated on somebody
else.
Well,
they're looking into Iran right now. So,
yeah.
And they don't want to, you know, what the Clinton administration did is they had dialogues. You know, what did Lyndon Johnson say? Hold your friends close and your enemies closer. So you really want to talk to the people that you have differences with. That's really what you want to do, and particularly where it can get dangerous. And this is an administration that doesn't want to have that kind of a dialogue. Dan, thanks very much for the suggestions.
Thank you.
Appreciate them. 349-1320, Kevin, and somewhere in his car. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Kevin.
Hi. Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome.
Well, I can tell you why Bush's ratings are so low. I mean, it's pretty obvious. He's not doing what the people want. The people want us out of Iraq, and they want him out now. So that's one reason. Another reason is people want the border shut down. You look at every poll, and it's, you know, it ranges from 50 to 70% of the people want the border shut down. And seriously, the government is not doing anything about that. That was just one side point. Another point you brought up is you asked, what's the deal with Hillary? Why is she made out to be such a devil? Why don't people like her? I like to make the comparison between her and her husband. Bill Clinton was an attractive guy. You mentioned it yourself. I mean, he was very charismatic the way he spoke. I mean, he was an appealing person. And Hillary comes off the complete opposite. She's not very attractive as a woman. She's not going to draw any males who might, you know, vote for her for that reason, for any physical appearance. She just comes off as a mean, bitter woman. And, she should be. I mean, the poor woman has been through so much with her husband. And
yeah, but, you know, here's the thing. We look at the sizzle, we don't look at the steak. We're looking at the wrapping paper, and that's a mistake that was made with this president. The question is, would she be a good president? I mean, if you use that as a measure, would she be a good president? Because in a way, she's already acted in that role.
Well, okay. We don't know how much effect she had over her husband.
Would she be a good president? Give me a yes or a no.
No, she would not be a good president.
Because are you a Republican?
I'm actually registered as a Republican, yes.
Okay, who would be Kevin, who would be a good president? Would Hagel be a good president?
Mitt Romney? Yes.
Oh,
he would be a great president.
Oh, I don't think he's flip-flopped more times than a bouncing ball. All right, Kevin, we're going to leave it there, but I thank you very much for the call. Interesting points. 349-1320, 866, 620, 61320. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather on AM 1320 KCTC with Dan Mitchinson.
Thank you, Enid. Dewey Drive at Coyle Avenue, north of Sacramento. We have a collision. Ambulance is responding right now in south Sacramento. A little slowing eastbound 50 just east of Zinfandel Drive. Seeing some taillights slowing down on 5 South as you head into downtown this afternoon. And the usual slow and go on 80 east and westbound right now. Your updated forecast, 34 overnight for our low. Expect a few high clouds on Thursday. 58 for our high. A little bit cooler heading into the weekend on Friday and Saturday. I'm Dan Mitchinson. More Enid Live and your calls coming up next on AM 1320 KCTC.
She's not right, but she's never wrong. Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
I'm News 10's Christina Mendoza.
New rule, one dear to my heart. Lap dancing is a First Amendment right. The L.A. City Council this week banned lap dancing. What is next? Burning books? Lap dancers, or Imagineers, as I like to call them, are artists drawing you into their fantasy world, much like a skilled novelist does. If novelists had perfectly waxed bikini lines. But more importantly, lap dancers are expressing an idea called hope. The hope that someday a skinny young woman with artificial breasts and a navel piercing will want to have sex with you. And without that hope, millions of American men might just as well throw themselves into the sea.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
Nothing pumps me up more than when fans tell me I love the game.
Number 23.
This is Kevin Martin from the Sacramento Kings. Metro PCS loves the Kings, and I'm a fan of Metro PCS. For just $45 a month, I can talk and text all I want, and there's no contract. If you live, work, and play in Northern California, get permission to speak freely with Metro PCS. Tell them Kevin sent you.
Metro PCS.
Hello.
Permission to speak freely. Long distance coverage in the continental U.S. Taxes and fees not included. Certain restrictions apply. See store for details.
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cache Fever Jackpot. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cache Fever Jackpot hits, a Cache Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cache Fever Jackpot total and your Cache Club points online now at CacheCreek.com. So join Cache Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
More buzz than an afternoon caffeine break. It's Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. A liberal dose of the truth. Live daily.
On the Wednesday edition of Enid Live, yours until 7, 3 to 7 On AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel, we are talking about a lot of things. We're talking about a lot of political things. We're talking about the fallout from the speech last night. Chuck Hagel saying, you know, the president doesn't have a plan. He's a Republican. We're talking about Hillary and why she has been demonized. I mean, does anybody have, and would she be a good president? Could she be a good president, or is she too busy trying to satisfy too many people? You know, when you try to satisfy everybody, you wind up satisfying nobody is the way that works. We have one line open, 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Marcia and Sack, hi, you're live with Enid. Marcia?
Yes, hi.
Hi, welcome.
Hi. I wanted to comment on when you were asking the question before about Hillary Clinton and why the right is, you know, hates her so much. And then the man who just called last, I think, you know, without realizing it, he kind of contributed to what I was going to say. I mean, he said that she comes across as a mean and bitter woman. And I'm wondering where he's getting that from, because I don't see her that way, and I think a lot of people don't see her that way. I think what she is a very, very bright woman, and I think that's what scares the crap out of a lot of people, especially the, you know, the inside the beltway, you know, white male types and the white male types across the country. They just, you know, the idea of a woman who is really smart, really capable, I think it just scares the crap out of them.
So that's it. That's the, in a nutshell. That's it. A smart woman, forget it. Men are running.
Yeah, I mean, you know, all these comments about her, what she's like personally, who she is personally, what kind of marriage they have, or whatever. None of that stuff is relevant. It's not really relevant. People try to make it relevant, but you know, you asked a great question earlier, which is, you know, would she make a good president or wouldn't she? And I think she would probably make just as good, if not a better president, than her husband was. That's just my opinion.
Thank you very much, Marcia. I appreciate it. 349-1320. It opens up a line, 866-626-1320. You know who would make a good president? Gina Davis. She played a president. I'm not a president, but I played a president. I played with a president. Gary and Sack, hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Gary.
Yes, I am talking about why Hillary is disliked so much, and Bill as well. I've always been convinced that people genuinely do not like winners. Both of them are winners. Bill was very successful at taking the Republicans' agenda and using it against them, and they don't like winners, even though they say they do. And as far as Hillary, the previous caller was correct. People are very intimidated by smart and successful women. I have met both of them. Yes, he's very charming, and she's very charming one-on-one. But she doesn't come across that way, unfortunately.
She needs to learn how to do that in a broader environment. One-on-one, you're right. But she's got, if she can patent that a little bit, if she can pump up the charm offensive. But you know, I don't think you can be charming and frightened at the same time. And by that I mean, when you are running at that high a level, if you are just, you know, dot your I's slightly wrong, you could get into the soup, and it can ruin your candidacy. So there's a kind of fear hovering in the background that you don't want to say or do or put a foot wrong on an issue. And I think the ease that we're looking for is without that kind of fear. That when we are easier, just think about it in our own lives. When we are easier with each other, the more frightened we are, the less easier we are. Don't you think?
No, I absolutely agree with that. And I know, you know, I've heard several times that Bill took speaking lessons after his debacle at the 88 convention when he went on for 45 minutes and people were applauding his, well, in conclusion. And I think she needs to do the same thing as well. There are people out there who will teach people how to speak. I mean, you know, her personality is never going to be changed. You can't do that because Bill's who he is and she's who she is.
Mm-hmm.
But I genuinely believe that she can be taught to be a little bit easier on the stump. And as far as whether she'd be a good president or not, I absolutely think so. She is more disciplined than he is. She's just as bright, if not brighter, than he is. And I certainly would.
I don't think he could have gotten where he is without her. She was that shadow side that you never saw, and I think she probably played a huge role, either in the discipline, in the bouncing of ideas. I bet you that they batted ideas back and forth, refining them. I think she played a major role in his success.
No, I absolutely agree. And the other part of it is he is from the South, and he generally has that by nature and by the geographical location of where he's from, is a very easygoing nature. She's from the Midwest, and from a large city and not as easygoing. So he comes across more with a southern charm, and she comes across more cosmopolitan.
Well, she's from a suburb of Chicago, so not actually Chicago, and some of those suburbs can be just pretty provincial. But I take your point, Gary, and I thank you for making it. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Chris and Sack, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Chris.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well. We have, by the way, we have one line open, 349-1320. Tell me what's on your mind.
I was going to say something about Hillary. I do think that she actually might have a good chance at, you know, winning president. I think that America, especially this upcoming generation, is all about, you know, change and, you know, wanting to see something different, especially, you know, America's just kind of been on the same plane, you know, for quite a while now. And I do think she would get quite a good amount of votes, I think, especially from the young people who really haven't cared to vote in the past, I think, possibly. What do you think?
I don't know. Maybe. I think you make a good point. I could see Nancy Pelosi being part of that other generation, maybe more than Hillary, because Hillary in some ways is like yesterday's news, but she's not. I mean, she is a senator, and she's getting high marks for being a pretty good senator. So I hope you're right. Who would you vote for, Chris?
You know, that's what I was actually looking at. I was either looking at, you know, honestly, I was saying no way I would vote for, you know, not to sound rude or anything, but I was saying no way I would vote for a woman. But then I got to thinking about it, and I said, you know, she can do it just as much as, you know, her husband.
Can I tell you something? The bar has been set so low with this ridiculous president that we have that we can all do it. Chris, you and I ought to be running for president. I thank you very much for the call. Opens up a line, 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein. You are listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 KCTC. Time now to check traffic on AM 1320 with Dan Mitchinson.
All right, we'll do that. Enid, and throwing a little bit of weather for you as well. North Sacramento paramedics responding at El Camino Avenue at Mission right now. Also, looks like we have a couple of disabled vehicles reported. That's near 20 just east of Rough and Ready in Grass Valley. Your updated forecast, a break from the extreme cold continues down to 34 tonight, but tomorrow lots of sunshine, a few high clouds, and a high around 60. It looks like it's going to be a nice weekend, too. I'm Dan Mitchinson, more Enid Live, and more of your calls coming up next on AM 1320 KCTC.
I'm just going to say right now what we're not saying.
She's not right.
And let the chips fall.
But she's never wrong.
Let the chips fall. Let the chips fall where they may.
Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Sunny day with tonight's AccuTerra forecast.
And folks, wasn't it just a perfect day for a terror alert? Bone chilling in the morning, clear and present danger in the afternoon, tapering off into cold sweats at night. Tomorrow, AccuTerra is predicting 100% chance of a really big terror alert to take our mind off bad economic news. An Al-Qaeda cell coming down from Canada into here, the Great Lakes region, for folks in the Detroit and Saginaw. You might want to put on an extra layer of Kevlar. Our exclusive AccuTerra radar is picking up a lot of chatter out here in the Denver area, so stay away from chemical plants, nuclear facilities, and, of course, the French fries at Arby's. Here in the West, some light showers of ammonium nitrate, a little sarin gas are possible in the Los Angeles area, but don't expect loss of life. The Santa Anas are going to push all that nasty gunk out. Here's your 5-day. Yellow, bluish yellow, yellow again, yellow gradually becoming orange, and orange back into yellow. And we've got an orangish red weekend on tap, so be sure to have plenty of bottled water and canned goods on hand. And that's fair. All right, make it a great day.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
Metro PCS presents more scenes from other wireless stores.
How's 1,000 free minutes sound?
Wow, are they anytime minutes?
Well, they're anytime minutes.
That's what I said.
You said anytime minutes.
So did you.
I said anytime minutes.
I just thought you said anytime with like a little accent.
Well, that's what I wanted you to think.
Okay, so what are any time minutes?
Well, they're like any time minutes, only the window of time where you can actually use them is very small. It's any, if you will.
How small?
Sundays from 4:11 a.m. to 4:12 a.m.
Wow, that's any weenie.
I love rhymes.
Stop counting minutes. Switch to Metro PCS and pay by the month, not by the minute. For $40 a month, you get all the local and long-distance calls you can make anytime. And there's no contract. Call 888-8-METRO-8 for a store near you or buy online at metropcs.com. Metro PCS.
Hello.
Permission to speak freely. Long distance in the continental U.S. Taxes and fees not included.
Call Enid at 349-1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Tuesday edition of Enid Live. We have one line open, 349-1320. Let's go quickly to the phones. Jesse and Zach. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Jesse.
Hi.
Hi.
I just have a comment about Hillary Clinton and why she probably will not be elected.
Okay.
And it's not because I'm one party or another, but it's because poor Hillary, she's too much of an attorney.
In what way?
Well, unfortunately, when she got her JD, she had to sacrifice a bunch of her really fun personality. So she's not really relatable. That's why she's so stiff and so rigid. She's much more of an attorney. And the reason why I say this is because one of my dear, dear friends is an attorney, and every time she renews her bar dues, she has to sacrifice more of her personality. It's really sad.
She gets stiffer and less interesting every time she pays up for the bar?
It's terrible.
Oh, my God, Jesse. You're not an attorney, I take it.
No.
Okay.
But with the way things are going with our constitutional violations going on, I'll probably need one before the end of this phone call.
Well, then maybe we should have an attorney in there who understands the value of the Constitution. I thank you very much for your novel theory. I like that.
KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel. Left Channel. And streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The Mississippi burning case was finally resolved, and now there's an arrest in another racial murder more than four decades ago. Two black teenagers beaten and dumped in the Mississippi River to drown. CBS News reporter Stephanie Lambidakis has more.
Now old and sick, reputed Klansman James Seal has been charged with kidnapping that led to the deaths of the two teens, Henry D. and Charles Moore. Seal has always been a prime suspect, but Mississippi dropped the case and it lay dormant for decades. In this revived investigation, prosecutors found a new legal avenue, establishing a federal connection because Seal allegedly crossed state lines briefly from Louisiana into Mississippi.
A second man, also a longtime suspect, has not been charged. No immediate explanation. Today, the Senate Foreign Relations Committee voted 12-9 for a resolution opposing the troop buildup in Iraq. Nebraska Senator Chuck Hagel was the lone Republican voting aye and challenged his colleagues to do the same.
All 100 senators ought to be on the line on this. What do you believe? What are you willing to support? What do you think? Why are you elected? If you wanted a safe job, go sell shoes.
A vote on the Senate floor is expected next week. Iraq isn't the only country getting more U.S. troops. CBS News correspondent David Martin reports U.S. commanders in Afghanistan will have their force beefed up.
With the Taliban staging a comeback, the Pentagon is reinforcing its combat troops in Afghanistan for what is expected to be a spring of heavy fighting. a brigade of the 10th Mountain Division, about 3,500 soldiers, some of whom arrived home this morning in upstate New York, will now have their one-year tour of duty extended by 4 months.
The change of plans means those just returned troops will have to go back. The second day follow-up to a President's State of the Union speech has become almost as much of a tradition as the speech itself.
We've got to be wise stewards of the environment, and dependency on oil makes it harder to be wise stewards of the environment.
I'm Mark Noller in Wilmington, Delaware. To spotlight the energy component of last night's speech, President Bush came to take a tour of a DuPont Company facility that does research on making ethanol. Mr. Bush sees that fuel as a way to meet his 20 and 10 objective of cutting gasoline consumption in the U.S. by 20% over 10 years.
Senator John Kerry will not run for president again.
Facing a crowded field of Democratic hopefuls, including Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, and his own former running mate John Edwards, Kerry decided he would not join the race for 2008.
I've concluded this isn't the time for me to mount a presidential campaign.
In a speech on the Senate floor, Kerry said he certainly did think about making a second run.
We came close, Mr. President, certainly close enough to be tempted to try again.
Instead, Kerry says he'll focus for the next 2 years on trying to force an end to the war in Iraq. Bob Fuzz, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
The Dow up 87. This is CBS News.
Now, you have a very unique accounting system for your boutique.
Yep. I designed my own spreadsheet.
Wow, looks complicated.
That's why I have a cheat sheet for my spreadsheet.
That is one big cheat sheet.
That's just the index.
You know, there's an easier way to manage your business.
Really?
Yeah, QuickBooks. You can be up and running in under 15 minutes. With just a few clicks, QuickBooks software lets you send invoices, see who's paid and who hasn't. It even makes tax time a cinch.
I'm switching.
Great.
Can you help me fold this back up?
I doubt it. QuickBooks. Better, faster, simpler. Get it at Staples, Office Depot, or Sam's Club.
Snuggie means kissing. And I've never been told anything otherwise. So, yes, I would consider that I am a good snogger, as you might put it.
Hermatch.com username is Cute Brit Chick. And you can email her right now. Go ahead, it's okay to look, whether it's Cute Brit Chick or someone else. We're so confident you'll find someone special in 6 months that if you don't, we'll give you 6 months free. It's our guarantee to you. And it's only at the allnewmatch.com. See site for details.
Emiliano Mercado del Toro, who at 115 was recognized as the world's oldest person, died today at his home in Puerto Rico. So the distinction passes to a woman in Connecticut. WTIC Radio's Matt Dwyer has the story.
The Gerontology Research Group says 114-year-old Emma Faust Tillman of East Hartford, Connecticut, is now the oldest person alive. Grandnephew John Stewart Jr. says she has an explanation for why five members of her family lived past 100.
She points up and she says, ask the man upstairs.
Tillman was born in North Carolina in 1892. Her family moved north when she was a child. Matt Dwyer, CBS News, Farmington, Connecticut.
A Boston couple was outraged when they were asked to get off an Air Tran plane in Fort Myers, Florida, because their screaming toddler wouldn't get in her seat. But the airline says public support for its decision has been overwhelmingly positive. I'm Bill Whitney.
Keeping the metal to the pedal. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Five minutes after 6 o'clock, that should be the song that we sing to Dickie, our president. Don't you bring me down, Dickie. You're not a good president. If you don't like the bumper music and you have some better suggestions, we're open to them. I happen to like it. But if you want to hear something else, we are open. Let me tell you that we're also open to your ideas and your thoughts, and you can easily express them here, and it doesn't cost you a penny to do it. If you're in the 916 area code, the number is 349-1320, 349-1320. And if you're not, 866-626-1320, 866-626-1320. I just got this email from Steve. Steve said you were right, Lyndon Johnson and John Kennedy were the last two senators to become president. He looked it up. That was kind of, I was pulling that out of my hat, but I guess that was right. And we're talking about a lot of things that I'm going to add to the conversation. But one of the things we're talking about is why Has Hillary been so successfully demonized? And we're talking about this in the wake of the fact that John Kerry has pulled out of the race. And he, too, was successfully demonized, but in a different way. He was swift-voted. Hillary was seen as too strong, and John Kerry was seen as too weak, I think, and too namby-pamby. And I thought that he really could have... He sounded so brave when he came back from Vietnam. The very thing that he was strongest in was the thing that the Republicans used to demonize him, and they were so successful in doing it. And I think that's why the Kerry campaign... just blew him off originally. It was like, how can you possibly diss somebody who is a genuine war hero by a bunch of chicken hawks who didn't go, who ran away from any kind of war, who enlisted in the Champagne edition of the National Guard? Surely this swift voting won't stick, and it stuck. It's amazing, really, when you think about it. Barack Obama, he has taken a page out of somebody's book. Maybe the testosterone school of politics, but here it is. He's taking on Fox News. And if this is a sign of how he intends to deal with the right-wing media, then it looks pretty perky to me. He is aggressively going after Fox News for pushing the smear job report claiming that he went to an Islamic madrasa. Now, remember we talked about that a couple of days ago, earlier in the week. Fox put it out. CNN, I think, did some investigation and found out that it wasn't true. But what Fox put out was that he had gone to. Now remember, his father's from Kenya, his mom's from Kansas, and he moved with his mom and stepfather to I think Indonesia for a few years of his schooling, and he was enrolled in a school in Indonesia, but it was not a madrasa. It was not an Islamic school. The report had been completely debunked by CNN that he had been in a madrasa, but he had not. But Obama's not letting up, and good for him. The senator's office has just emailed out a blistering memo targeting Fox that says the following. In the past week, many of you have read a now thoroughly debunked story by Insight magazine, owned by the Washington Times, which cites unnamed sources close to a political campaign that claim that Senator Barack Obama was enrolled for, quote, at least 4 years in an Indonesian madrasa. The article says the, quote, sources believe the madrasa was espousing Wahhabism, a form of radical Islam. And Wahhabism is what you see in Saudi Arabia, very, very fundamentalist kind of Islam. Insight magazine published these allegations without a single named source and without doing any independent reporting to confirm or deny the allegations. Fox News quickly parroted the charges, and Fox and Friends host Steve Doocy went so far as to ask, why didn't anyone ever mention that this man might... Right there was raised, spent the first decade of his life raised by his Muslim father as a Muslim and was educated in a madrasa. All of the claims about Senator Obama raised in the Insight magazine piece were thoroughly debunked by CNN, which, instead of relying on unnamed sources, sent a reporter to Obama's former school in Jakarta to check the facts. So he goes on to say that... if Doocy or the staff at Fox and Friends had taken the time to check their facts or simply made a call to his office, they would have learned that Senator Obama was not educated in a madrasa, was not raised as a Muslim, he is a Christian, and was not raised by his father, an atheist Obama met once in his life before he died. So he only met his father once before he died. Later in the day, Fox News host John Gibson again discussed the Insight magazine story without any attempt to independently confirm the charges. So he goes on to say that all of this was false. To be clear, Senator Obama has never been a Muslim, was not raised a Muslim, is a committed Christian who attends the United Church of Christ in Chicago. Furthermore, the Indonesian school is a public school that is not and never has been a madrasa. These malicious, irresponsible charges are precisely the kind of politics the American people have grown tired of, and that Senator Obama is trying to change by focusing on bringing people together to solve our common problems. So, I think good for him. He's strong, he's tough, he's stepping on the gas. 349-1320. 866-626-1320. You can email me, enid@kctc.com. And we stream live, 1320, leftchannel.com. Cal, in a car. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Cal.
Hey, Enid, I love your show. I listen to it almost every day.
Thank you.
Hey, you know, I'm a lifelong Democrat, and I think Hillary Clinton would be a great president, and I also think Barack Obama could do a very good job. But I think the Democrats need a reality check. The current administration is so dangerous. We can't have 4 more years of that. And Barack and Hillary, they're electable in California, and they're electable on the East Coast, but they're not electable in places like Montana, Texas. And it comes down to the redneck racist mentality that is still, you know, in a large part of this country. I think this election is so important. We need to run a white male. I know that irks a lot of people, but we need to get power back and we need to get control.
Wait, we have to run a white male? Only a white male can win?
I don't think I in California.
Are you being racist, Cal? Are you being what you think is politically realistic?
I'm trying to be pragmatic. I've been to a lot of those places. I don't see people in some of those states.
Well, what about doing some polling in some of those states so that we can find out how everybody registers in these red states?
That would be a good idea, but I don't know that if Democrats in a place, say, Montana or Texas, are ever going to vote, at least not in the near future.
Cal, you're saying, as a Democrat, that we can only elect white males in this country?
I'm not trying to polarize this. I want to win this next election, and I don't think that in those states, I would vote for both of those candidates in a second, but I was raised in California.
All right, let's put it out there and let's see how people respond to your pragmatic view of the election. I thank you for the call. 349-1320. What do you think about what Cal had to say, that only a white male is electable in the red states? Is that true, do you think? Don in Elk Grove. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Don.
Hey, love your show.
Thank you.
Basically, I think Cal's got it, and I've been reading some of that, too. Yeah, it's pretty tough. People do lie when they get polled as well. So, oh, yeah, I'm liberal, but I get in a voting booth, it's, you know, and my hand slips.
is that it?
Problem. The other thing, though, that I actually called about is that I'm just more curious to see if the Congress can get their act together and challenge the president. He's the commander-in-chief. He gets to decide who we're going to kill and when and how much money and how many people. However, you know, nobody's going to pull the money out away from our troops, and they shouldn't. But fine. This has all been done by supplemental budgeting. Pass the supplemental budget, send it for the troops that he sends there in harm's way, and do not pass anything else. Tell him where to put the pen that he signs his signing statements with, and tell him flat out that if you ever drop another one, you will never get anything to sign.
All right, wait a minute. So you're saying pull the money away. Is that what you're saying, Don?
I'm saying do not pull the money away from the troops. That's all supplemental funding because he's never had the guts to put it in a regular budget.
That's right. That's right. But what are you saying?
I'm saying that when the general budget comes up, let it be known that we're willing to shut the government down.
Well, let's see. Well, that actually happened. That happened in Newt Gingrich's time.
If they can't get her together to impeach him, prove to him how much of a lame duck he really is.
He is the lamest of the lame ducks. Don, I thank you for the call. Thanks for listening, too. 349-1320. It opens up a line. 866-620-61320. Jerry in SAC. Hi, you're live. Jerry with Enid.
Hello.
Hi, Jerry.
So the question I had, I'd like to respond to all this, but the thing about Hillary, whether she's electable or not, I'm not a particularly big Hillary fan because of her stand on the war, her previous stand on the war. But if you stop and go back and look at what happened in New York when she first ran for office, I mean, she was demonized, the whole thing went on, and she played it really well, but she got out and gave people had to take a second look. Yes, it was a liberal state, but she was way down there in the numbers. She probably has less wiggle room than a lot of people, but she has a massive opportunity
She's going to forego public financing. So she feels, and a lot of people who will be opposite her will not have that luxury. She has got a massive fundraising apparatus. So she'll be able to, she won't have to have the caps and limits that public financing brings with it.
Oh, yeah. Well, she's got it.
So she'll have that advantage. She might very well get the nomination.
I think if she got the nomination, I think she's very electable.
You do.
And they talk about the red states and all that. If you stop and go back, just go back to last election and look what the Democrats did. There was all that conventional thinking went on. Said, "Oh my golly, we can't win here. Don't do win there." And they ran in every state because you never know what's going to happen. You go out if you do the deal and continue with it, and you don't start playing favorites, and say, "Well, we can't win in Wyoming. We can't win here or there." You never know. And as this thing unfolds, and if you don't stay with the principle, you're a dead duck anyway.
All right, so you think she's electable?
Oh, yeah.
Even though she has high negatives. All right, Jerry, we'll leave it there. I thank you very much for the call. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Vinny in a car. Hi, Vinny. You're live with Enid.
Pretty good. How you doing?
Doing well.
Yeah, I was actually kind of dovetail. I actually think, you know, when you actually look at the electoral college math, you know, I think both Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, it's purely feasible. You really have to swing one of those purple states, which are, you know, your Ohio, your Florida. You know, you swing one of those states, the blue states are going to, you know, stay blue. The red states, you're not winning in Georgia with either one of those guys, one of those states. So it's completely conceivable. And for the record, I'm a big Obama-Richardson ticket. I'd love to see that one.
And who's on top?
I'd like to see Obama. I think, you know, everyone talks about his youth, but you're talking about a guy who has the charisma. Certainly he's an extraordinarily intellectual guy, very smart. And when it boils down to a president, you know,
how good is his judgment? How good is his judgment? He's got charisma. I mean, there's no question. And I like him a lot. But how good is his judgment?
Well, you know what? I would say this, that judgment, you know, when we look at records, what does a record mean? Most of these guys and senators, it's so politically tarnished because they're swaying on this and that. I look at whether the guy has the intelligence, what I perceive to make the good judgment. Do they have the intelligence, do I perceive, and the charisma to find the right?
Okay, let me ask you a question. Is Dick Cheney dumb or smart?
Oh, I think the guy is evilly brilliant.
Okay. Does he make good judgments?
No, he's been on the wrong side of his judgment.
Everything from Halliburton, acquiring Dresser Industries, which came laden with asbestos lawsuits. Every decision he's made, somebody analyzed it very early into the administration and said that if you did the opposite of what Dick Cheney has decided in his various judgments on business matters and so on, you will have a higher success rate. So you can be very smart, but you might not be making good judgments.
But the problem is it boils down, I would think, I don't think Cheney's the best example, because what if he does is, I think, is based on a particular ideology. I guess, you know.
But even his business judgments were not good, and that presumably would be less ideological.
Presumably.
I mean, but he's, you know, I know what you're saying, Vinny.
I guess my problem with
but we really don't know. We really don't know the quality. And Barack Obama, and I'm a big fan, but he got into a little bit of the soup with a questionable business deal in Chicago. Now, I haven't seen the details of it, but I heard a Chicago Tribune editor talking about it.
I guess let's use Hillary kind of as our juxtapose. Brilliant lady. I mean, nobody can sit there and say that she's not brilliant and extraordinarily savvy and a shrewd politician. The problem is in my opinion, is all of her judgments are based on finger to the wind. But again, where her judgment is
well, that you put your finger to the wind, because she does give out that impression, and that is not the mark of a leader. The mark of a leader is, I thought Chuck Hagel did himself proud today. He was angry.
If he switched, I'd vote for that guy. That guy's my hero right now.
He's my hero too, as a matter of fact. Vinny, we're going to leave it there. I thank you very much for
the call.
349-1320, 866-626-1320. We have one line open, I think. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together on AM 1320 KCTC with our own Dan Mitchinson.
All right, thank you, Enid. And at 620 eastbound I-80 at Sac River, we have a disabled car that's slowing some traffic down right now. Also in North Sacramento, we have a collision that is blocking a lane at Madison Avenue at Kenneth, and another collision blocking a lane just north bound 5. This is in Woodland. No other details available right now. As far as the weather goes, mid-30s tonight, warming up to near 60 on Thursday. Looking pretty good with a few more clouds Friday and Saturday. That is a look at traffic and weather together. I'm Dan Mitchinson. More Enid Live and more of your calls coming up next on AM 1320 KCTC.
According to Enid, we'll set you free.
Really?
Call her now at 349-1320.
Oh, hi. How are you?
The internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. Tubes. Why? Enormous tubes.
with massive tubes. It really is the Internet consumer bill of rights. Because he got tangled up with all these things that are going on the Internet commercially. The world has turned against this. Your own personal Internet. That is you and me. You and me. Tubes. The Internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck.
Laughing at the Truth. AM 1320.
It's a series of tubes.
I'm the change bandit. Now give me all your change.
No, silly, not like that.
Not like that?
No, just tell them how they can help by collecting the spare change from their friends, family, classmates, and co-workers. And donate it to the UC Davis Children's Hospital. All from our good friends at the Sacramento Credit Union.
They can? And all they have to do is register online at sacradiothon.com or ask their Sacramento Credit Union representative for more info? Well, why didn't you say so?
I just did, silly.
Think about this. Just a few years ago, you'd never have thought about buying a book, booking a hotel, or even buying an airline ticket online. Today, going online is the first place smart consumers look. LegalZoom.com has made it easy for smart, savvy consumers to be able to take care of common legal documents online. It's as simple as buying a book or securing your travel plans. You can form an LLC, last will and testament, or even register a trademark in minutes. LegalZoom.com saves most consumers up to 80% of the cost of going to an attorney. Yes, up to 80%. LegalZoom.com allows you to create common legal documents online at your own time and in the privacy of your home or office. Just answer some simple questions online, and LegalZoom.com takes care of the rest. For a limited time only, go to LegalZoom.com, and you'll receive a special discount by typing Talk Radio, all one word, in the box at checkout. Over a quarter of a million people and thousands more each day put their trust and confidence in LegalZoom.com. That's LegalZoom.com.
What is a miracle? A miracle described in the Webster's Dictionary is an extraordinary event manifesting itself in human affairs. You know, each and every day, miracles happen at the UC Davis Children's Hospital. And now, with your help, you can be a part of the miracle process as well. From now through February 24th, when you purchase a 9-piece miracle meal from KFC, $1 goes directly to the UC Davis Children's Hospital. Did you know that the UC Davis Children's Hospital is the region's only pediatric intensive care unit caring for over 60,000 children each and every year? That is why this year the KFC family is proud to have partnered up with the UC Davis Children's Hospital, part of the Children's Miracle Network, to help make sure miracles continue to happen. And now, with the help of KFC's Miracle Meal, you can be a part of one too. So do your part and go to a participating KFC for a great meal today and help continue to make miracles happen with the KFC Miracle Meal. For more information on how you can continue to make miracles happen, log on to www.kfcmiraclemeals.com.
Jewish people have to start. The Jewish population in America dropped 5% in the last decade, which may explain why this country's finances have gone to. Breed, you sons of Abraham, breed! We need you. Israel needs you. Kobe Bryant, Robert Blake, and Phil Spector need you. Without Jews, who's going to write all those sitcoms about blacks and Hispanics? New rule. Living in a box for 6 weeks doesn't make you a magician, it makes you homeless.
Laughing at the Truth. AM 1320.
More buzz than an afternoon caffeine break. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. A liberal dose of the truth applied daily.
Wednesday, the Wednesday edition of Enid Live, yours from 3 to 7 on AM 1320 Sacramento's left channel. We're talking about the fallout, the State of the Union address. We are also talking about why Hillary has been so demonized, so successfully demonized, why her negatives are as high as her positives in terms of the numbers. We are talking about who can win, who can't. Some of you have said that Hillary Obama cannot win in the red states. The candidate for the Democrats, and it's an important election, it's got to be a white male. Do you believe that? 349-1320. 866-620-1620. And what we know from the broadcasting business is that we the lore for a long time was, and this has changed certainly, that women's voices were not considered authoritative. So we know that's not the case anymore. And the other part of the lore, which I think still is the case, but you tell me if this is correct, that women are harder on other women than men are. Is this true? 349-1320. It might be. 866-620-1620. Chuck Hagel is the hero of the moment. He gave a barn burner of a speech with a lot of anger. He said, I don't think we've ever had a coherent strategy, he said, about the push to Iraq. He said, in fact, I would even challenge the administration today to show us the plan that the president talked about the other night. There is no plan. I happen to know that Pentagon planners were on their way to CENTCOM over the weekend. They haven't even team B'd this plan. There is no strategy. This is a ping-pong game, he said, with American lives. We better be damn sure what we're doing, all of us, before we put 22,000 more lives into that grinder. And I want every one of you, he said to his colleagues, every one of us, 100 senators, to look in that camera and you tell your people back home what you think. Don't hide anymore. None of us. And he said, you know, if you can't do this, you ought to be selling shoes. That's what he said. Ooh. He's a Republican. He can say this. It was sort of like Richard Nixon could open up China because he was a Republican and he wasn't a Democrat. Do you see the point that I'm making? But anyway, what are your thoughts about Hillary? Why she has been demonized? Barack Obama? Are these people who could fly in red states? 349-1320, 866-620-1320. And would you vote for Chuck Hagel if he ran, even as a Republican? What are your thoughts? Dave, in Citrus Heights, hi, you're live with Enid.
Hello?
Hi, Dave. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you. You know, it's interesting. I've been thinking for some time that Hagel would be very tough for a Democrat to beat. The Republicans have probably 10 to a dozen states that are solidly Republican. And you can go back to McGovern, Mondale, Dukakis. We cannot carry states consistently like Republicans can. And I'm talking about Idaho, Wyoming, Nebraska, Kansas, South Carolina. Democrats don't win there. I mean, Indiana, it just goes on and on. They haven't carried these states in probably 40 years.
Did you say Indiana?
Indiana. I don't think we've carried Indiana since...
Indiana just elected in a district around South Bend, which had a Republican, I think, congressman. They elected a Democrat. And it might be in a couple of districts. Now, whether you could carry Indiana in a presidential election is another question.
That's what I'm talking about. Presidentially, we just can't seem to carry these states, and that's what we need the electoral vote.
So are you saying then forget it? Don't even try. Don't even pander to them because you're never going to make it anyway.
I think that we just need to somehow hone the message to appeal to a lot of the people there that probably don't vote. In these states, there's a lot of people that just don't go out and vote, and I think that's what the problem is. In every one of those states I mentioned.
All right, so can a black man or a woman win yet in this country?
You know, I think something that's very interesting, Rudy Giuliani, an Italian-American, I don't think he can win.
Well, he can't win for a lot of reasons. He can't win for a tangled marital and extramarital history. That's one reason he cannot win.
But I think a lot of it goes...
And another reason he cannot win is he looks a little like Frankenstein. Young Frankenstein. Old Frankenstein.
But I also think that a lot of it has to do with his ethnicity. There's a lot of stigma, you know, the Godfather, the Mafia, you know, he's got to be connected type thing. I just, you know, I don't think a Mormon can win.
Now, for me, I don't associate that with Giuliani because he was thought to be such a tough and rigid prosecutor. So I don't associate any of those stereotypes with Rudy.
You may be right, but you know, I look at what happened to poor Jerry Ferraro when she was running. They were bringing up her mother.
Yeah, but that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
You don't think anything has changed now?
I don't know if it's changed. You know, I'd like to think it has. You know, Obama. I don't know. A black man. I just don't see it happening in a lot of places. I don't mean to sound racist. I don't think the country's capable of. You know, I don't know.
But there was a time when before Colin Powell sullied himself by becoming a lackey on behalf of the administration and a shill for them and letting himself squandering his goodwill and his fine reputation on trying to shill their massaged intelligence reports on Iraq. There was a time when there was a lot of talk about Colin Powell. And I think he could have, in that time when he was in his prime, I think he might have had a really good chance at the presidency.
I don't know. I would like to think that. I really would like to believe that. But again, I don't know. I wouldn't have voted for him because he's a Republican.
Well, there you go.
Maybe the red states
would have consoled themselves with the idea that he was a Republican and that that trumped everything. Dave, we're going to leave it there. I thank you very much for the call. 349-1320-866-626-1320. Bob in SAC. Hi, you're live, Bob, with Enid.
Hi, Enid. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
Enjoy your program.
Thank you.
Two things. One, I don't think there's any question that a black man or a woman can be elected president. I think the real question is whether Obama or Hillary can be elected. And I think Obama can. I don't think Hillary can be elected, however, because she's too divisive.
Why do you think she is? Why is she such a lightning rod? Why has she been so easily demonized?
I can't tell you. I just know that every dogmatic Republican I've ever talked to has a visceral reaction.
Oh, they hate her, and it's men and women both.
Right, and I don't think the same is true of Obama. I think most people that I know of, once they hear him, they're infatuated by him. I think he's quite electable.
Okay, so you doesn't the red states notwithstanding, you think he's electable?
Notwithstanding, I mean.
All right, but what about the quality of his judgment? He's bright. He really has a talent for saying the right thing and for imparting the right emotion. And I love it that he is going after Fox News. That he's aggressive about it. He's not being namby-pamby because they try to portray that he went to a madrasa in Indonesia when he was a kid. He's not a Muslim. It was a public school. His stepfather and mother were living in Indonesia for some reason. I don't know all of his bio. And so he has been aggressively trying to counter these charges, and I think that's exactly the right mode to take, instead of letting himself be swift-boated like John Kerry was.
Yeah, no, I think he's really a remarkable candidate. I'm truly excited, so I'm kind of hoping that he does well. And I'm not saying anything about Hillary because I favor Obama. I just think she is a lightning rod. But I did want to make one other comment on another issue.
Please.
It has to do with funding for the Iraq war, and I don't believe the Democrats can or should cut off any of the funding for the troops. I think it would be disastrous. But what they can do is to take a look at the massive funding for other military projects like aircraft carriers and super bombers and other things that are online to come up in the next 5 to 10 years. Cut those off. And just say, look, we're not going to have money for those because we're spending the money now, and we're not going to leave the troops. And I would suspect that the four-star generals with the Army and the Air Force and the Marines and everybody else who lose their toys would suddenly not just be sitting in the background but do everything they could to make sure that they don't lose the funding for those toys.
So you think if you defund those toys for down the line, it will have an effect now? I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that. But, Bob, it's a novel idea. Thank you very much for the call. 349-1320. 866-626-1320. Sandra in SAC. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Sandra.
Hi, Enid. Listen, you know, it's a nice thought, but you guys are dreaming if you think that this racist country is going to elect a person of color as president. I mean, it is just, you know, it's just not going to happen anytime soon. I think this country is really racist. Just the other day, some cracker from Virginia talking about blacks need to just get over slavery. Remember that guy?
which cracker? There's a lot. There are a lot of them.
He was in the legislature.
Oh, I know the one who was very upset about Keith Ellison using the Koran.
No.
That was Virgil Goody or Good. I don't know how he pronounces his name.
No, this is yet another one.
There's another one. And what did this cracker do?
He said, "Oh, blacks need to get over Martin Luther King's holiday. Blacks need to just get over slavery." It's like, you know, just these sort of comments that keep popping up. I mean, you know, I mean, I'm a person of color, so I have to navigate this BS every day. And it's like, you guys can keep on dreaming. Maybe a white woman can get elected, but that's about it.
Well, let me ask you, can Hillary get elected?
Oh, Hillary, you know, she probably could. You know what I mean? Maybe she'll pull a Thatcher and be, you know, some sort of hard war hawk or something. But she's as slippery as all the rest of them. And she, as a white woman, she's benefited from all the sort of affirmative action, every other sort of civil rights action that's happened in this country. So have at it.
Thank you, Sandra. A shrinking violet as always. Thank you. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Ronnie and Sack, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Ronnie.
How you doing, Enid?
Doing well.
I was calling about the electability of Barack Obama, which
I believe it happens, but we have to get rid of our defeatist attitude as Democrats. We have to go all 50 states. You know, for example, I live in California, but I was born in Dallas, Texas. I have family in Louisiana. And all those people in the South, they feel as though they've been ignored by the Democratic Party. But if we change that attitude like we did this election and actually go there, find out what they eat, find out what movies they watch, find out exactly what they like, and campaign to that, we'll win the South. We'll win it over, no problem at all. But we've got to get rid of this defeatist attitude where we won't win there.
All right. So for you, Ronnie, it's a question of attitude and putting people in the field and really going to town and developing a bigger voting base that will vote Democrat. All right, Ronnie, I thank you very much for the call. 349-1320, 866-626, 1320. Dublin and Citrus Heights. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, hey, Dublin.
I like the show.
Thank you.
I like the topic too, but I have to, the caller before that, who said that America is a terribly racist country.
Mm-hmm.
I think in some regards she's right, but I think she's looking at it from a bigoted standpoint herself. She thinks that, you know, it's always white people. She even referred to white people as crackers. She thinks that white people are responsible for all the racism. Look at all black people. Black people have a terrible amount of racism. Just today it was on MSNBC where the Congressional Black Caucus wants to boot out or wants to keep it all black, excluding a person who's white, but comes from a district that is like 60 or 70% black. And
well, but you know, that is a very interesting philosophical argument. So if you're the Congressional Black Caucus,
yeah,
you're not going to admit somebody who's white. Well, who is white and who is not? Who is black and who is white? Now, Barack Obama is considered to be black, but his mom is white from Kansas. So who is black and who is white? And if you want to be the Congressional Black Caucus, maybe you say, well, nobody who's white gets to be in here. But since we all are descended from about, according to DNA evidence, a lot of interesting new scientific evidence, we're all descended from the same, you know, 16 Eves or something that probably all started out in Africa somewhere. Maybe we're all sort of African-American way back in our DNA. I don't know. We're probably all related too, Dublin. So that's why you don't want to flip somebody off in traffic. It could be your cousin.
here's my point, though, that I want to get at. It shouldn't matter whatever color or gender that you are. I never look at it that way.
You are not black. You are not African-American, and you don't know what walking in those shoes is like. I suspect that none of us, unless we've walked in those shoes, I don't think we have a clue, really. I think
that's an excuse either.
Well,
I mean, I've been prejudiced against in my life, but I don't hold that against people. I don't hold that against
people. I think you have to. I think the world treats black people in a different way than they treat white people. I just think so. And without knowing who you are, they just look at a skin color and there are responses. And so I think it's not going to be easy for us to draw certain parallels. And I'm going to leave it there, Dublin. I thank you very much for the call. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein. You are listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together on AM 1320 KCTC with Dan Mitchinson.
And at 6:40, just about 6:41, we're starting to wrap up the ride home today. Things are beginning to slow down a little bit, apart from some brake lights in the downtown on South 5. We have just a blocked lane northbound 51. That's just south of Fulton Avenue. Your updated forecast, mid-30s tonight up to near 60 on Thursday with mostly sunny skies and some increasing clouds Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I'm Dan Mitchinson. More Enid Live and more of your calls coming up next on AM 1320 KCTC.
Goldstein, a sign of intelligent life in the political universe. On AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
What is a miracle?
Subliminal mind, America.
more than when fans tell me I love the team.
Number 23, Kevin Martin.
This is Kevin Martin from the Sacramento Kings. Metro PCS loves the Kings, and I'm a fan of Metro PCS. For just $45 a month, I can talk and text all I want, and there's no contract. If you live, work, and play in Northern California, get permission to speak freely with Metro PCS. Tell him Kevin sent you.
Metro PCS.
Hello.
Permission to speak freely. Long distance coverage in the continental U.S. Taxes and fees not included. Certain restrictions apply. See store for details.
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cache Fever Jackpot. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cache Fever Jackpot hits, a Cache Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cache Fever Jackpot total and your Cache Club points online now at CacheCreek.com. So join Cache Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
Edition of Enid Live, yours until 7. We're talking about candidates, and particularly in the wake of the State of the Union address last night. I don't know if you listened to it on AM 1320. We brought it to you. We brought the Democratic response. There's a lot of fallout from it today. A non-binding resolution by a committee in the Senate. Republicans are really hopping on board to beat up on Bush after the State of the Union address. And we're talking about candidates. We're talking about why Hillary has been so demonized. Today was the day that John Kerry dropped out of the race, and he really didn't have a chance anyway, particularly with Hillary in there snarfling up all the campaign money, fighting with Barack Obama among big campaign contributors. So that's a behind-the-scenes fight that's going on. A lot of you saying that the country's not ready, the red states are never going to elect a black man or a woman. Not yet. Is that true? Nina. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Nina.
Hi. I had two comments. First, I'll make my comment on Hillary. I think that Hillary is electable. I think that people can get around that. I think two things have to happen, first of all. One is with her, is that, one, they're going to hit her with the whole thing about Monica Lewinsky. They're going to dredge up. She needs to be ready to fight that head on.
Well, what did she do? What did she do? I had a caller call the show the other day to say that she's the reason that Bill philanders, because if you're married to somebody like Hillary, you got to have a cutie on the side.
You know,
I mean, what did she do wrong for the red states? She stuck by her man and she stayed married. She didn't get divorced.
You know what? I think that I think what that is an Achilles heel. And I think that she needs to look over that, because basically what it comes down to is that she's a very smart woman, and people are intimidated by that. And I think even women are intimidated by that, because they look at that office and they'd rather have Laura Bush in that office and look at her and say, oh, she's wonderful. She's not standing up for anything. She doesn't represent anything. She's generic and bland. And that's not what we want.
All right, but what about the allegation about Hillary that she sticks her finger in the wind to decide where she's going to stand on an issue?
And that's the other piece. She needs to stand up, because you know what? We've been through too much. And if I think anything will be her downfall, it will be her inability to stand up on issues, to just stand for something and say, you know what, this is what it is. I'm not going to care if I don't meet in the middle with everybody. I'm going to have some principles, and I'm going to stand by them.
I'm with you on that. I hope she has the courage to do it. Her handlers will tell her not to. Remember where she sort of pulled back on abortion? She pulled back on a number of things.
Yeah, she needs to stop doing that, because people, I mean, that plays into that whole stereotype about women being indecisive. And she needs to just stand up and say, look, this works, this doesn't, and this is what I'm standing for. And if you want to put your money behind it, do it. And if not, because ultimately voters are going to go out and vote for her. So she needs to look at what we want and what works for us. And she needs to defend it.
So you think she has a chance?
I think she has a chance, but I think those two things will kill her if she's not, if she doesn't fight them, if she doesn't stand up, if she tries to skirt the issues. people won't want to deal with her.
Nina, I thank you very much. Good perceptive observations. 349-1320-866-620-613-20. Marjorie and Sack. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Marjorie.
Hi, Enid. If I'm not redundant, I'd like to read a very short little bio on Barack Obama.
Very short, but you're at the Department of Redundancy Department.
I am.
Yes, right here. Right here on Enid Live. Yes.
His father was a Kenyan economist, mother an anthropologist, grew up in Hawaii and in Indonesia. Education, B.A., Columbia University, 1983. Law degree with highest honors, Harvard University, 1991. First African-American president of the Harvard Law Review. Career, this is short. 85 to 88, helped Chicago churches organize job training programs for poor residents. 93 to 2004, civil rights lawyer, lecturer at University of Chicago Law School, 97 to 2005.
But, and let me just jump in here. The University of Chicago Law School is a very good law school.
I know. 97 to 05, Illinois State Senator, keynote speaker, 2004, Democratic Convention, and then 2005 to President. We already know all that. But I just think a lot of people maybe don't know. That's pretty heavyweight, a heavyweight career in a very short period of time. He's capable.
Well, he is capable. I would like to see that. I would like to know that he's the guy who could bring it out, bring us out of this, bring us out of the darkness that we are in.
I agree with you. And Hillary, you know.
But let me just let me just before you go to Hillary, is it what a lot of callers are saying today is that the country is not ready to elect a black man or a woman.
I know.
Do you agree with that?
I don't want to agree with it. Let me just quickly with Hillary. I do think that the Republicans want her to be the candidate, and I do think it's a finger in the wind thing with her. I've always admired her. I always liked her, but I'm disappointed with her now, you see.
Okay. Well, you know what? I think that's a valid criticism. I think a lot of people are feeling the same way. Marjorie, thank you so much for the bio. I appreciate that. 349-1320-866-626-1320. What Marjorie and some others of you are saying is that what's gonna knock Hillary out of the ring is that she sticks her finger in the wind and you don't have the sense. You want somebody who really feels like a leader. Who really, and I think the Democrats need to take a page out of this playbook, the Chuck Hagel playbook. He was angry, he was tough, and he, because he's a Republican and because he's got a military background, he was able to do certain things that maybe Democrats are not able to do because for some reason they're perceived as soft, because Michael Moore says, you know, they drink lattes and they don't get up till noon and then they go have a latte and then that's the end of that. 349-1320-866-620-613-20, Huey and Sack, hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Huey.
I think Hillary Clinton can win. I think Barack Obama can win. Having said that, John Edwards is my first choice of the three of them. I think he has the ability to bring back the kind of optimism in America. And of the three of them, he is the only one talking about economic justice and about the class warfare that's going on against the middle class and working people in America. And I think when you start looking at this primary by primary, I think Edwards could do surprisingly well and ultimately get the nomination.
And then who becomes the vice president? Barack?
Well, it could be Senator Obama. It could be Jim Webb. Or maybe they go totally outside the box and reach over to Chuck Hagel.
That would be a very interesting.
You know, just something like that. But I think if Senator Clinton gets the nomination, I think she wins because the Republicans can't help themselves. They'll just run against her and, you know, ask Senator Rick Lazio in New York how successful that is. I mean, he ran against her in the first race saying, "I'm not Hillary Clinton." That was his whole campaign. And he got waxed. And I don't think for Senator Clinton to lose, the Republicans have to nominate a candidate who articulates a positive vision of their own, and I'm not certain they have one right now.
Huey, I thank you for the call. 349-1320-866-620-613-20. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. Time now to check traffic on AM 1320 KCTC with Dan Mitchinson.
All right. Thank you, Enid. We'll do it one more time. Eastbound 80, just west of Northgate Boulevard in North Sac. Looks like we may have something in the road there, so keep your eyes open. And in South Sacramento, Cherokee Lane at Twin Cities Road, we're seeing some minor slowdowns there. Your updated forecast for Sacramento and the vicinity. Nights will remain staying chilly down into the mid-30s. And then tomorrow, a high right around 58 degrees with mostly sunny skies and a few high clouds. I'm Dan Mitchinson. More Enid Live and a few more of your calls coming up next on AM 1320 KCTC.
It's talk radio for the left of us.
It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's left channel.
The 2000...
New rule, stop whining about gas prices. It's good that it costs a lot, and not just because the sales tax will help pay for our twice-a-year governor elections. It's also good if it makes you think of walking the three blocks from your house to Del Taco instead of taking the Land Cruiser. Gasoline costs a lot because we have to find it, bribe or kill the people who live on top of it. Extract it, refine it, ship it, and pump it. You'll pay $2 a gallon, and you'll like it because you know what the alternative is. Riding on the bus with poor people. New rule. Call things what they are. If your morning coffee contains crushed ice, whipped cream, and caramel, it's a milkshake.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
Metro PCS presents more scenes from other wireless stores.
How's 1,000 free minutes sound?
Wow, are they anytime minutes?
Well, they're anytime minutes.
That's what I said.
You said anytime minutes.
So did you.
I said anytime minutes.
I just thought you said anytime with, like, a little accent.
Well, that's what I wanted you to think.
Okay, so what are anytime minutes?
Well, they're like anytime minutes, only the window of time where you can actually use them is very small. It's any, if you will.
How small?
Sundays from 4:11 a.m. to 4:12 a.m.
Wow, that's any weenie.
I love rhymes.
Stop counting minutes. Switch to Metro PCS and pay by the month, not by the minute. For $40 a month, you get all the local and long-distance calls you can make anytime. And there's no contract. Call 888-8-METRO-8 for a store near you or buy online at metropcs.com. Metro PCS.
Hello.
Permission to speak freely. Long distance in the continental U.S. Taxes and fees not included.
For a good time, call Enid at 349-1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Edition of Enid Live, just a few minutes more until 7, and then we'll do it again tomorrow. Let's go quickly to the phones. John in Folsom, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, John.
Hello, Enid. How are you tonight?
I am very well, thank you.
So, really quickly, John Edwards and someone who is black, who I think could win the presidency, I heard him speak a couple of years ago, back to back, and the difference was startling. Mr. Edwards came off as, I think, a fairly genuine person, but very inexperienced, very lawyerish, very, you know, much just a politician with not much depth. Whereas the person who spoke after him, I believe, would win 54 to 55% of the vote if he were to run. That's Colin Powell. Of course, I don't
think. Not now, though. Not now.
You don't think so?
No, no. I think he compromised his, with me anyway, and I think a lot of other people, I think he compromised his immense goodwill and the immense reputation that he had by shilling for the administration on what he knew to be massaged and misleading intelligence. And they used him because they knew he had a lot of immense public clout to make a case that wound up being bogus. He has sort of recanted without